high desert in the great American Southwest. Ivy Duell, good evening, good morning, good afternoon, wherever you may be in the world's prolific time zones, covered by this program, all of them, which is Coast to Coast AM. I'm Art Bell. Weekend version. Good evening, everybody. It's absolutely an honor to be here with you. I love it. A few program notes. One, as you know, I had said I might not be here this weekend, or perhaps the following. Well, it's going to turn out to be the following. Next weekend, actually, I will not be here. No conspiracies. I've not been dragged off into the bush or anything. The antenna, which we were going to get up this week, is now planned for next week or this coming week. This monster of an antenna, about 14 towers total to hold up, I don't know, 2,200 feet of antenna with about 4,400 feet of wire. It's all going to go up during the week sometime, hopefully, weather permitting. Looks a little ominous out there. So next weekend, I will be off doing that. That's program note one. Two is going to be, you might take a look at my, actually, there's several things on the website you're going to want to take a look at, and we'll get to those in a moment. Let's look at the world quickly. Democrats debate over Iraq, Bush, Vietnam. John Kerry accused President Bush of repeating Vietnam-era mistakes in Iraq, and he pledged on Sunday to combat Republican attacks, which rivals Howard Dean and John Edwards face pressure to cede the nomination to the Democrat frontrunner. Looking ahead to a matchup with the President, Kerry said during a Wisconsin debate, quote, "I'm prepared to stand up to any attack that they come at me with," end quote. "I'm ready for what they might throw at me." Well, be assured they'll toss something. A special Iraqi police unit arrested a senior Ba'ath Party leader on the U.S. military's most wanted list in a raid Sunday. So let's see now. That leaves only 10 top figures from the original 55 that we wanted. So we've got 45, I guess, out of 55, leaving 10 more to go. The day after the chief investigator said authorities were closing in on a serial highway shooter, the man stood in plain view on an overpass and began firing a handgun at cars below. He then walked into his car and slipped right back into traffic. How are the rovers doing? NASA's Spirit rover stopped to examine an unusual flaky rock on the surface of Mars Sunday, as scientists prepared to send it on a trek that would be more than double its one-day distance record. The Mars Explorer team hopes the rover will travel about 82 feet on Monday, and that would be a record. Now, a couple of items on the website, and I thought this was really cute, as well as, of course, absolutely fascinating. It's an Associated Press story called Universe's Most Distant Object Seen, Pasadena, California, in a discovery that offers a rare glimpse back to when the universe was just 750 million years old. A team of astrophysicists said Sunday they have detected a tiny galaxy that is the farthest known object from Earth. Quote, "We are confident it is the most distant object," end quote. California Institute of Technology astronomer Richard Ellis said of the galaxy that lies about 13 billion light years from Earth. That would be 13 billion light years, or in other words, 13 billion years at the speed of light to reach. The team uncovered the faint galaxy using two of the most powerful telescopes, one in space, the other in Hawaii, aided by, get this, the natural magnification provided by a massive cluster of galaxies, the gravitational tug of the cluster, called Abel. Actually, Abel 2218 deflects the light of the distant galaxy and magnifies it many times over. And that's a capital A, by the way, Abel. Ha! What if it's Art Bell? Could they have that kind of humor? The magnification process, first proposed by Albert Einstein and known as gravitational lensing, produces double images of the galaxy. Without the magnification of 25 afforded by the foreground cluster, this early object could simply not have been identified nor studied in any detail with presently available telescopes. Now listen here. The discovery gives a rare glimpse of the time when the first stars and galaxies began to blink on, ending a period cosmologists call the Dark Ages, said Robert Kishner, an astronomer with the Harvard Smithsonian Center for Astrophysics in Cambridge, Mass. The possibility is here that we are really beginning to peek into that time, said Kishner, who was not connected with the discovery. Quote, people have gone there in their imagination. They've thought about it. Now we're getting the facts. The Hubble Space Telescope revealed the first glimpses of the galaxy, backed up by observations made by Keck Observatory's 10-meter telescopes atop a mountain in Hawaii. The galaxy is just 2,000 light-years across. That's far smaller than the Milky Way, which is, well, I don't know, about 100,000 light-years in diameter. Cosmologists have predicted that early galaxies contained stars that were different from the ones that came into being much later in the history of our universe. But the astrophysicist's analysis suggests the type of massive stars the galaxy contains were common after the end of the Dark Ages. Very interesting, if true, said Kirshner. No one knows how long the Dark Ages lasted in the wake of the Big Bang, 13.7 billion years ago. Well, the Dark Ages, of course, could have been forever, right? That was that which was before there was anything. Before God said, let there be light, and then the blinking began. So that article, as well as a photograph of this farthest galaxy, AB1, or AB whatever it is up on the website. Kind of neat. Item two, this could be pure bull. On the other hand, it would certainly have really major implications for all of humanity should it just happen to be true. I'll tell you what. Open lines are coming up. I'll get to this supposed classified secret U.S. document in a moment. We'll call it Biogate. So we'll do that, and then we'll get to your phone call. So if you have anything that really is important that you get on the air in this first hour, yes, one more program note. Prior to diving into our second hour, which will contain one Aaron Donahue, an extremely controversial person. In fact, I'm warning you right now that it's going to be a dark show. I mean, it has every potential of that. Now, Aaron Donahue is a remote viewer who worked with and then was dismissed in some way by a major at Dames. Aaron is a Luciferian. So it has obvious, from many listeners' points of view, negative probable connotations to it. And therefore, you are warned that the children, the little ones, and the sensitive ones should be rushed away from the radio. And, you know, only if you think you can mentally stand hearing such a thing should you even be tempted to listen. That'll be next hour. In a moment, something probably classified and, well, maybe classified, maybe total bull. Okay, I don't vouch for any of the following in any way whatsoever except to bring it to you. The following was submitted by Dr. Joseph M., we will call him. I have his full name, but I'm not going to use it. It says, Dear Art, I'm attaching a file that I thought you might find interesting and want to talk about perhaps on your program. According to the file, this is a secret briefing from the CIA. It arrived on my doorstep in a plain manila envelope with instructions that I should get it to the right people. Well, I'm honored, I think, to be considered a right person. There was no return address in postmarked Washington, D.C. I don't know anybody located there, by the way. It looks genuine, but obviously is transcribed for easier reading. However, one or two of the title pages look to be from the original document. I suppose that was that the original was damaged somehow. I can't quite make heads or tails of it, but perhaps some of your listeners can. P.S. I guess this material may have come to me because as a hobby I sell unusual items on eBay and someone thought I might be able to make use of it. I only have a few items up right now, but more are coming. And he gives his username. So, top secret UFO sensitive area, top secret background contacts, mission contacts. Okay, so here's what it is. After a few top secret looking type things, it could have been, frankly, taken from virtually anywhere. This part certainly would be interesting if true. Q status only. Q status alert. Top eyes only, it says. Intelligence briefing. Not to be released outside agencies, departments, executive, legislative, or judicial branches without proper internal authorization. Well, it doesn't say anything about talk shows here, though. National talk shows, I didn't say that. Let's see. This agency announces that the aging code has been permanently broken, making biological immortality a certainty. Please note that this is not a future event, and the data has been proven conclusively at this time through scientific testing. Clarification underline. Biological, physical, immortality, or the problem of death and dying, has been conquered permanently. The Human Genome Project, under the direction of several intelligence community agencies, Trine, Umbra, Sacred, Jehovah, Majestic, Zodiac, Spiritual, Environment, and Medea, has conquered mortal physical death. Now, there's a lot of reading here in a PDF file, which I've made available to you on the website, but just let me read this part. Most importantly, the BI project, that would be biological immortality, has been completed. The completion of the project was a necessary step due to the amount of time it takes for interplanetary travel to outreaching star systems that have planets which can sustain life and have similar ecosystems to Earth. Given enough time, our technological advancements under the direction of ETs, that's the direction of ETs, would have been sufficient for interplanetary travel without biological immortality. Due to the shortage of time, BI was an easier project to complete with the information gleaned from the relatively new Human Genome Project. Now, if you find that tempting enough to want to read more, we have posted the entire document up on the website. That would be, of course, coasttocoastam.com. One more little email somebody sent me a couple of things, actually, that I thought were very interesting. Sometimes the shortest, simplest comments really are the most intriguing that a listener can make, just short little stuff. And this was one that caught my attention, coming from Felix, someplace out there on Verizon. He says, "Hi, Art. Just a short comment. Maybe the crop circles in the UK are a warning message of the coming ice age to Europe." Huh. That's actually Felix from La Puente, California. Isn't that an interesting... we've always wondered why the United Kingdom... what would be so special about the United Kingdom with regard to crop circles? We know some, of course, are forged and fake and done by, college students or whatever, but we also know some are not. And I just, his comment, though short and sweet, caught me. Here we are on the verge of the current that keeps that part of Europe warm, unusually warm, from either slowing or stopping, according to the latest science. And he hits me with this. Now, that may have occurred to him after I read the articles indicating what trouble we may be in with those currents. But still in all, If you've ever wondered what the crop circles were so heavily concentrated in the UK for, well, hey, there you go. Maybe they are the ones who need to be warned. And the following from Whitley Strieber's Unknown Country. What will we do if ET contacts us? Now, this runs counter to what I thought SETI had said to me in a most impassioned way so many times. The International Academy of Aeronautics in Paris has a list of volunteer astronomers who are willing to help. In the U.S., an international agreement called the Declaration of Principles Concerning Activities Following the Detection of Extraterrestrial Intelligence, written by SETI, lays out the basic rules for contact. The scientists who sign the declaration must agree to keep the news about contact secret until the government has been alerted. Now, you can read the rest of that up on Whitley's site, but you see, I have interviewed time after time representatives of SETI on this very program who have indicated other things to me about what might be done if, you know, that the word would just be there right away. That Cyan, they might, of course, you know, they might let it go to the press, but that the word would instantly flash around the world. Well, maybe after the government got to peruse it, which is what I've always thought. And that's the first, thing I've seen in print that would back up what I always had as sort of a suspicion in that area. And then this article from unknowncountry.com, this is extremely interesting. This will blow you away, so listen carefully. Suspicious fires break out in Italy. Fires have broken out in part of a Sicilian village, and no one can figure out what's causing them. It cannot be electricity because the power has been cut off. Now, despite this, check this out, washing machines, dishwashers, refrigerators, electric meters with cables have been spontaneously bursting into flame. A fire even started in a water pipe. There's no evidence of arson besides how the hell do you light up a water pipe. In the Guardian, John Hooper quotes somebody's name that I can't even pronounce, of the Italian Center for Electrotechnical Experimentation, as saying he watched as an electrical wire lying on the floor that was not plugged into the mains inexplicably caught fire. The civil defense chief there says the fires and blasts seem to come from a dispersion of electrical energy, but the origin of the presumed dispersion has yet to be determined. So, in other words, things are bursting into spontaneous flame. Good Lord. We really do live in a strange, unusual, and fascinating world, don't we? West of the Rockies, you're on the air. Hello.
Hello, Art. How are you?
Just spiffy, thank you.
Yeah, this is Seamus up in Roner Park, about an hour north of San Francisco.
Yes, sir.
And from time to time, I've called up with unusual updates on shadow beings.
And do you have one now?
Oh, boy, do I.
Let her rip.
A friend of mine, who I will simply call Miss Katie, works at a local Starbucks over here. And, by the way, she loves Coast to Coast.
Like a modern takes me back to Matt Dillon or Matt.
Something like that. Yeah, not quite.
Miss Katie Starbucks, you know.
Oh,
yes,
well.
So anyway.
Anyway, where she works, they have a drive-through window that has a motion sensor that when somebody drives up, it will open up the window. And she was closing up the store, and she saw what appeared to be a shadow being leaning up against a window.
Yes.
Now, normally it takes a lot of activity, a lot of waving around or a car driving up, you know, to open up that window.
Now, you see, a shadow being you wouldn't think would lean on anything.
You wouldn't think so.
You wouldn't think
it would open up the window. However,
absolutely not.
It did open up the window and then disappeared.
Well, I don't know what to say about that. It doesn't seem like shadow being behavior to me.
It doesn't either, but we've seen some really strange things up in this area.
I thought last night's program was very interesting. The concept that these shadow beings and ghosts and the dead and everything that ever was and ever is and ever will be is actually all around us at a different vibrational level.
Well, from what little I know about quantum physics, that holds true.
It may indeed, and what a surprise that would be for the scientists, but then again, they're always getting surprised. All right, brother, thanks for the update. I appreciate it.
Thank you, Art.
Right, leaning up against something you would think without a form, something that would only be a shadow, and here by virtue of falling through another universe or dimensional portal, just wouldn't lean up against anything, wouldn't open a window or do any of the rest of that. All right. Going to break here at the bottom of the hour, and when we come back, 30 minutes of solid open lines. So, ask yourself.
Call the Wildcard line at area code 775-727-1295. The first-time caller line is area code 775-727-1222. To talk with Art Bell from east of the Rockies, call toll-free at 800-825-5033. From west of the Rockies, call Art at 800-618-8255. International callers may reach Art Bell by calling your in-country Sprint access number, pressing option 5. And dialing toll-free 800-893-0903. From coast to coast and worldwide on the Internet, this is Coast to Coast AM with Art Bell.
From the high desert in the middle of the night, how you doing? Good morning. Soon the beginning of a new week, the timeline for midnight craze, just screaming across the United States right now. And a new week is about to begin, even here in the West. Shortly, stand by. Open lines, as promised, coming up immediately. All right, now our own little human genome project begins. First-time caller line, you are on the air. Hello.
Hey, Art, how you doing?
I'm doing all right, sir. Where are you?
Right now I'm in Pottstown, PA.
Pottstown, Pennsylvania. All right.
Yep. A couple weeks back, I believe, you had a, by the way, it's Colonel Lunev listening to you on WPHT, the Big Talk of 1210.
That's a big one, all right.
Yep, 50,000-watt flamethrower.
Mm-hmm.
A couple weeks back there, you had a guest, I don't remember his name, you were talking about something about the weather conditions, and you were referencing your book, The Quickening. And
probably the coming global superstorm, actually.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
And you had mentioned something about, I believe, or your guest, about NASA. And it reminded me of an article I had read a while back. And I went and researched that and pulled the book out. It's the Atlas on the Environment.
Mm-hmm.
And it's published by Prentice Hall Press.
Yes, sir.
And they have an article in here concerning the ozone. Apparently, there was a some research done in 1982 by Dr. Joe Farman and a team of British scientists in the Antarctic doing a survey, and they used the Nimbus 7 weather satellite, American weather satellite. And what happened was this guy, Dr. Foreman's team, found there was a huge hole in the ozone. And when the Nimbus satellite tried to find it, there was no trace. Well, later on, it turns out NASA, and by the way, Dr. Foreman published in Nature magazine his results. NASA reexamined the data with the Nimbus 7, and they found the same hole, but their computers had been programmed to reject them as spurious before they even had a chance to see them.
Their programs were, now let's get this straight, it was programmed to reject the information about the ozone hole, is that what you're saying?
That's basically verbatim from this article, and fortunately the discarded data, they kept it and retrieved it, and the observations were later confirmed by Dr. Farman's old instruments.
Did you know that by law, in Australia, school children are required to wear protective hats coming and going from school because of the radiation?
No, I didn't know that.
Well, now you do. The ozone hole is as real as a heart attack. Unfortunately, and we don't really know where it's going from here. There are those who hope and presume that because of the change with regard to CFCs, that the ozone hole will eventually repair itself, but they don't really know. Wildcard Line, you're on the air. Hello.
Hello, Mr. Bell. I wanted to ask you what is your take about John Kerry and President Bush being members of the Skull and Bone Society?
Huh. Well, heck, I don't know. Maybe they are.
Is it something we should worry about if they are?
You know, I'm not worried.
Okay.
That's all I can tell you. I mean, I'm not worried. Are you?
From what I've read about it, yeah.
Yeah? Really? You think so? You think secret handshakes and world domination and population reduction and, we could go on and on, said to be the goals of this or whatever?
Because it's like a political organization, it shouldn't be like something that's done in a closet.
Well, if you actually, I'm not saying that those are the goals of that at all, but I mean, if they were the goals, then you'd sure be in the closet with it, wouldn't you?
True.
Do you know the secret handshake?
I'm thinking of the Masons one. That's the only one I know.
Oh, okay. Well, that'll only get you a little information.
But one more question.
Yes.
What do I do if I can get some UFO proof?
What do you do if you can get some UFO proof?
This video.
You call Dr. Greer?
Mm-hmm.
Dr. Stephen Greer? He'd love to hear from you.
Okay.
All right.
Okay, sounds great. Thanks, Mr. Bell.
You're very welcome. Take care. East of the Rockies, you're on the air. Hi.
Hi. This is Michael in Norfolk, Virginia.
Yo, Michael. How you doing?
Oh, I'm fine. Thank you. Looking forward to tonight's interview because of the last time he was on. He was very provocative.
I did not hear the first interview, so we'll take it from ground zero. But, yeah, I understand he's an incredibly provocative, and I'm going to say it again, everybody. If you're sensitive and you're bothered by things like this, the man is a professed Luciferian, you're going to want to turn off the radio, right?
Well, I wouldn't play that up too much.
Well, we're going to... No. You know what? No. He's really mainly here as a remote viewer. But,
right.
You know, that's an interesting aspect of the man, so...
Here's how I read him. He strikes me as a Christian fundamentalist.
Really?
In many ways, yeah. His interpretive view of things. Most Christian fundamentalists have never even grasped the biblical concept of Christ. I mean,
well, I'll ask him about that.
Let me just say the Greek translation. From the Hebrew, the original Hebrew concept, then the reason it was so controversial in Christ's day was a world-ruling king. That's what Messiah means.
All right.
World-ruling king.
I've got
one world government.
Okay, one world government. I know. Thank you. All right. We will ask about that, whether he's actually a closet Christian and perhaps even a fundamentalist at that. I have a feeling that the answer probably will be no, but I certainly will ask. West of the Rockies, you're on the air. Good morning.
Hello, Art.
Hello.
How are you doing tonight?
Okay, I can barely hear you.
Oh, I can hear me better now.
What kind of phone are you on?
I am on a cell phone. Phones, you love
bad.
Well,
bad.
I'll make it quick. I'm sorry.
Sorry,
I'm
go ahead.
I'm here from California.
Yeah.
And, I just heard something. Okay, you're talking about SETI.
Oh, SETI, yes.
Yes, and how they would react.
Wasn't that interesting? I mean, whenever you interview anybody from SETI, they say, boy, the information should be out just like that, right?
Yeah.
But in this article, they say, just like that, right after the government gets it.
Yeah, Popular Mechanics had an article on it. I don't know if you had a chance to see that.
I just always suspected that anyway. I mean, gosh, you're going to run that by the government.
Yeah. But it was really interesting. I was just calling to see if you had read that article. It talks a lot about the plan they have when we do get in contact with them and how they want to keep it from the press at first.
Yeah, and by the way, I'm not altogether sure that that's wrong. I mean, that may be exactly the right way to handle it.
Yeah, I agree. I kind of agree, too. But they had a test, they had a run test, a fake one. and right away, the New York Times caught on to it, and they were real surprised.
Okay, I know what you're talking about. That was the contact they thought they had. They really did think they had an extraterrestrial contact. It turned out to be one of our own satellites, specifically, I believe, SOHO, but they thought they had the real McCoy for a little while there. They really did. And they actually got a call from the New York Times, which I guess in some way disabused them of that notion. On the international line, you're on the air. Hi, where are you, please?
Hi, how you doing?
Very well, thank you.
I'm calling from Toronto, AM 640.
Yes, sir.
I'm calling you for the first time. I wanted to talk to you about something that I've been doing for the last 6 or 7 years. It kind of ties in with that remote viewing.
Sure.
It's kind of like an out-of-body experience, but I'm able to meet or greet some kind of entity and through this experience, like a deep meditation state.
Really?
Yeah. And I've been able to copy the things that I'm seeing through this state onto paper. They become like really fine detailed artwork.
Sounds a lot like channeling.
Yeah, I'm not sure what it is. I'm just trying to get
what it's called. I mean, when you're in contact with an entity and you are relaying information vocally or on paper, it's a kind of a channeled thing, I think.
Yeah, I've been working on it for a while, and it's like I've been calling it fourth dimension ink art translations. And like I've got like about 20 of them done. I've been trying to get some people to figure it out, and I don't understand all of it. I just do them like I'm the medium, right?
Mm.
And I was hoping maybe you guys would have a way of understanding it more than I do. And like I've got a website if that's
no, I can't
possible.
Let you give it out on the air.
Right.
But you can email me, send me to your site, and let me take a look-see.
Sure thing. So yeah, If anyone has any ideas about such things,
email me, sir. My addresses are as follows, and this is for everybody. If you want to get hold of me, I am Art Bell. That's ARTBELL at mindspring.com or Art Bell at AOL.com, and that's just spelled all lowercase ARTBELL at mindspring.com or AOL.com, and would love to hear from you on about any subject. First time caller line, you are on the air. Welcome to the program.
Hi, Art. How are you?
I'm fine. Where are you?
I'm Abby. I'm calling you from the Lower East Side in New York City.
Uh-huh. Welcome.
And I wanted to break some news on your program, the fact that during the Republican National Convention scheduled for this summer in New York City,
yes, sir,
a large group of anti-war activists and anti-drug war activists are organizing large protests intending to nonviolently shut down the Republican National Convention. And at this point, we have already applied for a camping permit for protesters in Central Park in New York City.
Huh. So you're going to be part of that, huh?
I'm organizing.
The organizer.
I'm one of the organizers. I'm an old friend of the departed Abby Hoffman.
Are you really?
In the spirit of his patriotism, we're organizing so much because we feel the Republican administration power is such a danger to civil liberties in America that we need to do something, and we need to do it. And, I mean, New York City is not a Republican city.
Mm. The only thing I would say here is, and I'm not defending the current Republican administration, but even if a Democrat had been in office when 9/11 occurred, for example, would you honestly expect to see anything less than perhaps has already been done? And again, I'm not defending the Patriot Act or any of the other intrusions that we all now experience as a result of what happened at 9/11. But even a Democrat in office would have been forced to take an awful lot of the measures that you're getting ready to protest.
I'm agreeing with you on that, but I don't think they would have gone as far. I don't think they would be arresting and detaining American citizens without right to counsel. And I don't think that they would be attempting to eavesdrop on or listen in on attorney-client conversations. And, you know, I don't think they would have gone as far. And I definitely believe that they would have done many of the same things that the Bush administration has done, but I don't think that they would have gone as far.
Yeah, it's something I'm thinking about very hard myself, our liberties in one hand, and terrorism and the safety of the American people in the other hand, and baby, that's not an easy balance.
You're right, Art, about that.
Anyway, good luck. Make Abby proud.
I think we will.
All right, later. Wildcard Line, you're on the air. Hi.
Hi. I'd just like to ask you one quick question. You're After Dark.
The After Dark newsletter.
Yeah.
Yes.
Now, how can I get my hands on the Father Malachi about the whole interview?
All right, well, I'm not totally familiar with the deal, but I think that when you subscribe to After Dark, or at least that was a promo we were running for a while, I don't know what the current status is, you get CDs of the Father Martin interviews.
Okay.
I don't know if that's still going on or not, to be honest.
Okay. Yeah, I was checking on the website earlier tonight, and they had that whole promotion thing. I was just wondering about that.
They're totally worth hearing. I mean, those are gems that should be sort of kept forever.
Right. I heard that in high school about 5 years ago.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, those were very important interviews, very compelling, dramatic, important, educational interviews.
When did he pass away?
It's been a few years now, sir, and I remember, and always will, getting the call. He, they say, fell down some steps, and there is quite a bit of controversy about...
Because of the movie The Exorcist.
Quite a bit of controversy about that, in quotes, accident.
Right.
But the man, there's no other man in the world like him right now that I'm aware of. No other. And you really should hear those interviews by hook or crook. Get your hands on one of those CDs. East of the Rockies, you're on the air. Hi.
Hello.
Hello.
Oh, my God. I'm so glad y'all picked up the phone.
Huh.
I'm a professional astrologer, and there is a huge, huge astronomical... astrological occurrence happening over the next 18 days.
What's going to happen?
We just got through a Friday the 13th, correct?
Yes.
We are fixing to have five planets intersect at 13 degrees of Aquarius, and it starts tomorrow.
And what does that mean?
And what that means is, well, I went back through my ephemeris and said, okay, well, let's statistically, logically look at this. Let's see if we can find any correlation to other periods in time. It could just be an anomaly. So I start looking at September 11th. Well, I found something interesting on that day, and only that day, Mercury was at 13 degrees of Gemini. I said, interesting. Hmm. I keep looking. Okay, it happens about once a month. And I looked again at September 11th, 2002. And... you know, Mercury was somewhere else.
All right, now, see, not everybody understands what all this means. So cut to the chase here and tell me, what is this alignment you're talking about?
Okay,
mean?
My prediction,
yes.
I've been doing this about 12 years, my prediction is this. Between the bird flu, possibility of blackouts, like the global superstorm that you guys have been talking about. I am telling you now that it starts tomorrow. It lasts for 18 days, and it's over March 5th. It is five planets that intersect at 13 degrees. It's statistically highly improbable. If you'll go on the Internet and just do a basic search, you will come up with a whole, you will be able to basically verify what I'm saying.
All right, so look out, look out.
I'm trying to put an all-points bulletin out, and I can't believe nobody's called.
Well, you just did. The next 18 days, look out, right?
Yeah, and what's interesting is Putin's election is March 14th, and that figures interestingly into this.
All righty, thank you very much, I guess. A little bleak for the next 18 days. Watch it. West of the Rockies, you're on the air. Hello.
Hey, Art, how you doing?
I'm doing all right.
Okay, a couple of things. The first one, I'm just curious if anybody else out there has noticed this. For the last 4 days, I've been seeing crows fly lower in the sky than I have ever seen crows fly before.
Low crows.
Low crows, like 3 feet overhead.
Oh, 3 feet.
I mean, low. You
those
can hear the wings beat.
Crows.
And it's everywhere I go. And they're not following me. The crows are flying low. So I don't know if that's...
Well, but see, I haven't seen them. So how do you know they're not following you?
Yeah, my friends have seen them, too. I've asked around.
Well, then how do you know the crows aren't following you and your friends?
Yeah, I'd have to be real paranoid to believe that. I'm just sort of wondering if maybe they're picking up on something in the atmosphere or in the magnetic field of the Earth. Or...
I don't know, but that's in, and where are you again, please?
I'm in New Mexico.
New Mexico, low-flying crows in New Mexico.
Yeah, and here's on the immortality thing.
Yes.
My guess is that it seems like they cracked the DNA code a lot sooner.
They certainly did. One quick question, because we're at the end of the time here. Would you want to be immortal?
I think we're wired for it.
Ah, all right.
But I think what they've done is I think they've broken the electrical code to the DNA.
All right. Thanks, and have a good night. We're going to take a break and be back with Aaron Donahue. This is a warning. Might want to get out of the way of this one.
With Art Bell, call the Wildcard line at area code 775-727-1295. The first time caller line is area code 775-727-1222. To talk with Art Bell from east of the Rockies, call toll free at 800-825-5033. From west of the Rockies, call 800-618-8255. International callers may reach Art by calling your in-country Sprint access number, pressing option 5, and dialing toll-free 800-893-0903. From coast to coast and worldwide on the Internet, this is Coast to Coast AM with Art Bell.
First-class warning. Here it comes, right at the beginning of the program. What you're about to hear is going to be extremely controversial. It may be disturbing. Aaron Donahue is a self-professed Luciferian. So if you're going to be injured in any way at all by hearing material of this sort, you know, go listen to an oldies station somewhere or something. Get the children out of the room. This is adult material at an adult time of night. Aaron Donahue, is a natural-born psychic, born into a family of psychics. As a remote viewer trained by Ed Dames, he is an expert within the field of non-historical data. To prepare for this, he spent 3 years in total seclusion, remote viewing PI. As a consequence thereof, he has developed the ability to accurately remote view numbers, a skill that has allowed him to successfully and consistently win the lottery. That's pretty cool. I've had a million emails. Well, if they can do that, then why don't they win the lottery? Well, he does. His current groundbreaking work is focused upon the study and manipulation of particular numerical trends within specific world markets. Aaron is a certified remote viewing instructor who has recently appeared on TV Asahi in Japan, the sci-fi channel In Search Of series. He will also be appearing briefly within the new movie Suspect Zero, starring Sir Ben Kingsley, Aaron Eckhart, and Carrie-Anne Moss of The Matrix. So, in a moment, prepare for the controversial, prepare for a man that Ed Dames, actually, you know, the rumor was out there, Ed Dames fired him. But, on the other hand, Ed Dames called me before tonight's program with Aaron and said, hey, Art, you're going to have a good program. So, coming up, we'll see. I had a lot of emails prior to this program tonight saying, you can't have Aaron on. You can't have this Donahue guy on. You can't do it. And, of course, that has the exact opposite effect on me. It always does. So here is Aaron Donahue. Hey, Aaron.
Hello, Art.
Hi.
It's an honor to be with you tonight.
I think it's an honor to have you. Well, okay, first question, and this is one I really want to know, because, of course, I've had Ed on the program many, many times over the years, and what happened? I mean, did Ed fire you? I know he trained you, and then did he fire you, or did you just go parting ways, or what's the story?
The true story is that we have parted our ways over two differences. One, my definition of child exploitation, which is I don't do any child cases for television or for public media, and I'll go ballistic if anyone ever puts me in a position where I'm going to do a child case to exploit a situation with a child that's either missing, harmed, dead, kidnapped, what have you. I don't want this to be a public media event. I don't want to make money from it. And I'm not saying that Ed would. I was put in a position that I didn't like in Japan, and so I turned my back on it. And the other thing, too, is Ed is a Christian. And
yes.
Yeah, and that's fine. I'm a Luciferian.
By the way, somebody called in the last hour and said, you know, this Donahue guy is probably a closet Christian, actually a fundamentalist.
I know Hebrew. I know the Hebrew Bible very well. And there's some things there to appreciate, but the Bible is full of holes. And I don't want to be here to berate or to belittle or to make fun of someone else's religion. I want to expose the truth concerning the entire matter, its history and so on. We don't have enough time during the show to do this in sound bites, but I can skim over the surface. But back to Ed Dames, I want to say this of him. He is, without a single doubt, the greatest remote viewing instructor living today.
Do you know you actually sound somewhat like him? Your speech pattern is very reminiscent. Very reminiscent. So he must have been very influential, yes.
Yes, he is. He's, like I say, one of the greatest. I feel he is the greatest remote viewing instructor living today. This man knows more about remote viewing than anybody, period.
He actually really had. But what he said about you is you're going to have a good show. He's going to be good. I don't know, he's still got some, I guess he's got some warm feelings somewhere for you.
He's a great fellow. I don't have anything against Ed Dames. There are many rumors out there, and they're derived from this this sort of dichotomous thing between Christianity and the Luciferian.
So it's
movement.
A religious difference.
Yes.
Uh-huh.
Extreme.
Yeah, extreme. Ed's done some pretty extreme things himself. That's why I thought anybody who Ed thought was strange would really be fun to interview. So... all right, so let's jump into this. Remote viewing, you say you're a trained remote viewer, and you also are claiming that remote viewing is dead. What's up with that?
Yes, it is dead. It's been replaced. Now, I don't...
Whoa.
Yeah, it's been replaced with something. You have to think of this as a rung on the ladder. If you're a natural-born psychic, and I am, this is your first rung. And you need to structure in order to access certain information to discern reality from that which is fantasy or, you know, left brain functioning associated with.
Well, that's what remote viewing is, right? Structure.
Yes, it is, and that's only a rung in the ladder. And from that rung, it's ridiculous for anyone to suppose that remote viewing would not develop into something entirely new. In my case, it's radically new.
And all right, can you explain it?
Yes. I can tell you this, that with what I do, I call it the practical application of non-historical data and the acquisition of non-historical data. There are two parts to this. What I do is I found a way to access numerical data in time, and I did it by discovering a formula which was given to me. You're going to love this, Art. So is your audience out there. You're all going to love this. This is amazing. Ed Dames gave me a blind target when I first took his course way back in Beverly Hills.
Mm-hmm.
And this blind target had to do with a verse in Aleister Crowley's Liber Alval Legis, or the Book of the Law, which was given to him by some praetor human intelligence, or so it was thought. We thought it was a joke. We didn't know. But when I remote viewed the code and the key to the entire book, a code was given to me. I didn't know what it meant. It took me years to figure it out. I knew, instinctively, and as a psychic, to go into seclusion and to take hydrogen. Have you seen the movie Pi? Recently, someone had shown me that movie, and I was shocked.
No, I have not.
Very interesting, because here's a fellow that takes hydrogen to increase his IQ, his intelligence. And he...
What is hydrogen?
Hydrogen is a nerve growth factor. It mimics a nerve growth factor, and it actually is an antioxidant that crosses the brain-blood barrier. And okay, according to the neuroendocrine theory of aging, this particular drug will halt aging of the brain. And this is in part the reason why I'm not aging normally. I'm at least 15 years younger
mm-hmm.
than I should be. And
all right,
because
well,
I take very good care of my brain.
It says you went into 3 years of total seclusion,
yes,
remote viewing Pi. And
took massive doses of hydrogen.
Okay.
And what I did is I developed, through repetition, a way of looking at the world in terms of relationships. Everything became paradoxical to me. And this helped me work with the formula in such a way that I could use the formula as a calibration for where we are in time.
Mm.
Art, did you know your brain's rhythm operates at 25 hours per day, not 24. It's the reason why I don't wear a watch. I don't have calendars. I go according to my own rhythm.
It's interesting. That would be Mars time, actually.
Pretty close to it, yes.
Huh.
The French case studies in the 80s had demonstrated that.
All right. Can I take you to a lesser thing before we jump in? Because I want to understand about the numbers and how you know what they mean. But it says here that you have won the lottery. And over the years, with regard to remote viewers, I've always had these emails, well, if they can do it, well, I'll go let them go win a lottery. You know, that'll prove it to us. And you really won?
Yes, I have, and I make my living. I don't work. I'm retired. I make my living remote viewing lottery.
Really?
Yes.
Do you think that's cosmically considered...
I'm a Luciferian, what can I say?
Yeah, that's right. That's right. Okay, yeah, I'm sure we'll touch on that too. All right, I really would like to understand from this 3 years of looking at Pi, what you discerned and what it means what you've learned and what's coming. I mean, obviously, you're going to make predictions based on all of this, right?
Yes, I am.
Okay.
I'm very serious.
So let's see if you can explain to me in a way I'll understand how you convert these numbers to meaning.
First of all, it's very, very difficult for a psychic, for anyone, to see a number under any conditions. Under any condition, it's very, very difficult. It's the most difficult target there is in all of remote viewing to see a number.
Mm-hmm.
You can't see letters. You can't see numbers. It's very, very difficult. And if you do, imagination invariably gets in the way. This is the next rung in the ladder. I have found a way to calibrate where you are in time using this formula. And when I do that, I can use this as a template for accessing anything from letters. You can take an old ancient Hebrew text, and if you don't know anything about Hebrew, you can translate that to the best you can. You need to do it within context into English.
Mm-hmm.
See,
mm-hmm.
Or you can use Sanskrit and so on. You can use this technique to look at numbers before they are conceived, which is amazing.
Mm-hmm.
It proves that we can see the future. It's undeniable proof, and I can do it with lottery, and I can do it consistently. It's very, very difficult work, and we're pioneers here. We're on the forefront of this psychological and spiritual evolution. And there's going to be a rung higher than the practical application of non-historical data.
Well, if you have found a way to discern numbers in remote viewing, then you're over one of the toughest blocks in remote viewing, which is identifying where a scene event may occur in time. The time part of it has always been the toughest.
It certainly is. And that's something that I'm mastering right now.
So,
I'm very
All right. So based on that, Aaron, what have you discerned, and can you give us timelines attached to these things?
Yes. If you want some predictions, I'll go.
I'd love it.
Okay. All right. Here's for my critics out there. I'll go back in time. And I have to do this because it relates to these predictions, and there's seven of them, seven for each year prior to the return of Lucifer. And this is going to take work. This is up to us. But here we go.
All right.
Back in 1985 to 1986, this is a number in time that relates to, it's easier to go back in time because things are fixed. It's called historical data.
Mm-hmm.
So I can get Social Security numbers, anything like that, anything back in time, anything that exists now is very easy to get with these numbers, license plates, you name it.
Huh.
But if we go back in time, if you queue up, or you what I call a search, the time in which the totality of the carrying capacity of the Earth with respect to human, the human carrying capacity of the Earth was breached, completely breached, as of 1985 to 1986. This was critical mass for irreversible damage to our ecosystem.
In other words, that's when person one past the limit was born.
Absolutely. That was those are the years, 1985 to 1986, we crossed the line. Our Earth began to die from that point on. And as of 2000, this is a number that comes up concerning the first indication of a peak oil production.
Mm-hmm.
And we won't know, we'll absolutely have it confirmed between the years 2004 and 2008. My numbers say 2006 is when we will have the data in proving that we've reached peak oil production. Now, what that means to the layman out there probably doesn't mean much. It means you're just going to have to, you know, pay a little more for your gasoline and so on.
Mm-hmm.
But for the people in the Pentagon, for China, for Russia, it means you're close to World War III.
Well,
it means societal collapse.
I could not agree more. If there is going to be a war to end them all.
It'll be over natural resources and it'll be over oil.
Yes.
The reason why we're looking for these weapons of mass deception in the Middle East, it's about energy crisis.
Yes.
And it's a very serious matter. And actually, I agree with the policies of the United States to protect the interest of our own country. We have an indefeasible right to survive. And the number one threat to the existence of the United States in the future is not terrorism. It's oil. It's energy. We are in an energy crisis, and we're running out of oil. We're now sliding down the curve. We'll know exactly when that point of the downward slide in the curve where prices of oil increase and
Have you heard the projections, Aaron, that are tossed about with regard to the amount of oil we have left? I mean, a lot of times you'll hear scientists say at present levels of usage and projected increases in 35 to 40 years, the last drop effectively has been drawn, you know, that kind of thing.
Yes, that will never happen. There will always be new opportunities for oil that we haven't discovered. We know we have everything basically mapped, but some areas are so expensive and so time-consuming to explore and to extract the oil.
Well, that's what I meant by last drop, effectively taken.
That'll never happen.
Well, I know, but economically, I'm trying to agree with you. Economically, there's going to come a time when it's going to be war.
Yes, and the war will be the time when if we go to war, and what I'm seeing is an opportunity for us, which is very, very interesting. We don't have to go into a global conflict, which will escalate to a nuclear exchange, absolutely, between China and the United States, and then Russia gets into it. And this is all about self-preservation. And I'll give you the years for that, too. But you're right that we will have a point in which the spigot is running dry. And that's because of total world social chaos, which is right around the corner. Because we're getting a 1-2 punch here. We're not just in the middle of an energy crisis.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to have an abrupt change in our weather soon. Your book concerning global superstorms is so scary and so right on. I'm telling people, I'm telling your audience that book, you need to read it. It's right on the mark.
Well, thanks for the plug. But the recent news, you know, from Woods Hole and others is pretty concerning. Now,
yeah.
I'm watching how this story is developing very carefully, and the big mainstream media, with a couple of exceptions, have ignored it so far. And I'm wondering when they're going to, you know, like it's a light switch is thrown. They're going to suddenly discover, oh, my God, look what's happening to the Gulf Stream. Oops.
Yes, and it is slowing down. Our winters are getting colder. Eventually, we're going to have an ice age. That's so true. Europe and the United States will freeze over in its northern regions. You're going to have a permanent winter when that happens. And when does the light switch go on? Not until critical mass of awareness concerning the matter and media gets on board with us. Right now, we're in a state of collective denial, and
mm-hmm.
denial is one of the seven stages of death. There was a time, Art, when during the time of Ur, Iraq, the cradle of civilization, which we bombed recently, did a bad thing to our psyche. Ur was the place where Abraham had existed, and they had stripped their resources to the point where Ur was destroyed. They had to leave Ur. This is the story of Abraham leaving Ur, which is now called Iraq today. It was once lush forest, that they couldn't farm anymore. They had no more water. They had to leave Ur.
Mm-hmm.
It was an ecological disaster. In those days, you could leave for another area of Earth that was still alive and vibrant and could supply nourishment to a human being. A life support system for that human being was everywhere. So you could destroy a local area and then move on.
Yes,
today,
but those days are gone, and you said it yourself, that there was one human too many, and what year was it,
1985 to 1986.
Yeah, right in there somewhere. All right, Aaron Donahue, hold on. But somewhere between 85 and 86, there was one more human born than the Earth could bear. And Aaron says that's when the Earth began to die. I don't know. See how that one rests with your psyche. Does it seem like that could be possible? From the high desert, I'm Art Bell, and this is Coast to Coast AM.
talk with Art Bell, call the Wildcard line at area code 775-727-1295. The first-time caller line is area code 775-727-1222. To talk with Art Bell from east of the Rockies, call toll-free at 800-825-5033. From west of the Rockies, call Art at 800-618-8255. International callers may reach Art Bell by calling your in-country Sprint access number, pressing option 5, and dialing toll-free 800-893-0903. From coast to coast and worldwide on the Internet, this is Coast to Coast AM with Art Bell.
David in Santee, California, no doubt with sweat pouring off his forehead, his fingers trembling, asks that, hey, Art, can Aaron view the numbers needed to register a Windows XP CD that I bought at a swap meet for $1? It had no documentation or install numbers. I don't know. Observation. Aaron, in a lot of ways, you're like Ed Ames in the sense that you are obviously using some pretty dark, looking at some pretty dark targets. Now, the observation is that if you really have moved a step up and you're able to discern dates through numbers, then you have an awful lot you could still be working with and enhancing the work of Ed Dames, joining forces with him. It seems to me you're both near or close to the same page.
Absolutely, and I've never been opposed to working with him again. He's just a marvelous person to work with. He's very analytical and he's very smart. He, like I say, he knows more about remote viewing than anybody on the planet. So,
Your ability to nail down the timelines, the most problematic thing with remote viewing, it would seem a natural. Anyway, so let us continue. You've given us a couple of predictions. Let's get them out.
Yes. Well, here we are at the fulcrum, 2004. Everybody wants to know, and this has been viewed back in October, as promised, and President Bush is going to be reelected. And this fulcrum in 2004, this is where everything changes. And it's not just because we're here now. That's irony, but what we're talking about is that we have to make some decisions. There are highly probable futures.
Mm-hmm.
And Nostradamus put his predictions out there. Why? Because they presented us, ethically, an opportunity to change. This is why I look at dark things. As a psychic, I don't tell people good things very often because I don't want these people to change. I want these people to recognize the bad things so they can avoid them.
So these bad things are not absolutely inevitable and the future is to some degree malleable.
That is correct, but there are some futures which were fixed long ago. For example, the carrying capacity of Earth was breached. We are dying. We're a dying race of beings on a dying planet. And everybody can feel it on some level. This is the thing that's foreboding in everyone. You can see it in their eyes. I can feel it in the spirit of a human when I walk by them.
Mm-hmm.
They're very sad, and they're troubled. Prozac sales are skyrocketing.
Yeah, I don't disagree with any of that. I think that people have a certain foreboding feeling that's part of our natural instinctual process, just as other animals have it. We do too. We can feel when something is askew.
Mm-hmm. There are 72 primal fears, and now we're reaching the higher we're getting into other frequencies of these fears. And yes, this is a cellular information we're accessing. Fear is a great teacher. It's a great revealer. We need to face our fears, not mm-hmm. run for them or create systems of information that deal with them indirectly. We need to face our fears directly. And my work is probably one of the most fearful, this is the most fearful position you can have. Dealing directly with Lucifer is quite a frightful thing indeed, and I'm saying that. And I've been with Lucifer my whole life.
In the same sense, no doubt, that others would say they fear God.
Mm,
God-fearing, right? Isn't that the phrase?
I would say my definition of God would be the highest of information systems, and we fear that which we can never understand. And this is something so beyond our collective intelligence, I can't possibly begin to understand it. Therefore, in that sense, yeah, it's scary.
Or one could take it the other way, and of course, you know, Lucifer has a sort of a general rep out there, right? And so you could take it that you're in fear of that force of evil as it's perceived by most people.
No, I don't fear evil. Evil is something that humans create. It's not real. This dichotomy between good and evil,
yes,
is something that we create every day. When a human being abuses a child or exploits it, that's evil.
That's evil.
We create it.
Boy, I agree with that.
And I'm here to liberate Lucifer from these negative connotations. If you look at Lucifer historically, that's actually not the name of this entity. There's no accident for anything. There's no such thing as coincidence. It chose that name to be recognized as such. Why? Because the old Latin word for Lucifer,
yeah,
as Lucifer, means Venus, the morning star. Christ himself referred to himself as a morning star and so on. But Venus is the model for global warming. There's some new data out there showing that if we continue to pollute using fossil fuels, we're going to have an atmosphere similar to Venus. And this entity, which is the father of the human race, it genetically manipulated us. We left the Garden of Eden through genetic manipulation. It's in cross-culturally, it's in all of our stories. And this entity is our father. It gave us the capacity to have the soul. There's only one soul, and it's associated with the life and function of the spirit, Earth.
And this entity you call
the progenitor of the human race, Lucifer, our father. It created us. We leave monuments. Dolphins do not. Yet dolphins have larger forebrains than we do. If a dolphin has a more sophisticated communication system than we could ever imagine having,
yes,
why does it not leave monuments? What's the difference between a human being and a dolphin in terms of intelligence? A great difference. What's the difference between us and a dolphin? We have the power to destroy our environment. A dolphin is bound by the rules of nature. It is of the spirit earth. We have a soul. The dolphin does not. The dolphin is the soul. It's part of the soul generation process. And when we kill the earth, we destroy our ability to transmit the light of the soul, which in essence is the same vibrational state of our father, the creator, Lucifer. Lucifer represents the ultimate fear. Lucifer stimulates us through fear. Fear is a great teacher.
On what basis do you, I just don't understand how you revere Lucifer as our creator, how you...
This was remote viewed, and this was some, I grew up as an occult, as someone who's been in the occult all his life.
Mm-hmm.
And so I understand a bit more about this entity through visions as a child. For example, on my website at ummo.cc, you can click on the brown world being.
You had a very difficult childhood, didn't you?
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yes. And I love my parents. They're wonderful. They did the best they could. I was basically born in a garbage can and left for dead. Not by them. But I didn't fit in with other kids. I'm a synesthete. You grow up assuming that everyone else is like you are. They're psychic, and they can know when someone's going to die and so on. And
yes, that would be natural. If you had a natural psychic ability until you learned otherwise, you would certainly think it was normal, wouldn't you?
Yes, and I can see color. I can hear it at the same time.
Hmm.
The frequencies of color, I can hear them. And so the senses are combined in many ways. And so assuming that other children are like this, you don't know any different, but you feel different and you're treated differently. It's difficult to reflect upon society when your brain's wired completely differently. And then you're born, with a higher IQ. That just compounds the problem. So what I did as a childhood is I shut up, didn't say a word. Self-preservation.
Mm-hmm.
Didn't talk to anybody, and I kept this a secret for many, many years. But I had an intimate relationship with Lucifer my entire life. This thing has always been by my side. And I didn't understand it until Ed Dames. I remote viewed it over and over and over again. And I have come to learn through countless sessions that this thing is an alien. It is an extraterrestrial that was involved with the genetic manipulation of the human being from a primate.
You're saying that Lucifer, as we know Lucifer, is an alien being who is responsible for our creation.
That's correct. It is our father, and the Earth, as we evolved from the primordial soup, is our mother.
Mm-hmm.
So we can turn this into some kind of mythology for us. And again, mythology is very good. We learn from this. But the Lucifer is a real thing. It's an entity, and it had technology, and it converted us. It manipulated our DNA from the primate to what we are now. And you know, in the old Hebrew, Lilith, which was the first wife of Adam, is described as a hairy one, or an ape. Eve was described as the one without hair.
Hmm.
So that's very interesting, and there are cross-cultural stories that show this as well. So it's not just in the old Hebrew. Very interesting. In the Kabbalah, the Tree of Life, of course, was the knowledge of life and death and so on, and this has a lot to do with Luciferian knowledge, or the entity that is guiding us, or trying to. Now, there is a war in heaven, so to speak. There are those who oppose Lucifer, the angelic influences that created the four great religions, to turn mankind against itself. And here we see this in the Middle East. We see the Christian against the Muslim. I want to unite all the religions under one thing, science and spiritual truth. And it can be done.
Hmm.
But you're going to have to come up on the next rung of the ladder beyond the practical application of non-historical data, which the acronym is PAN, short for panic, or the PAN-NIB, as you know. So there is another rung, and you're going to have to come into that other rung of truth. There are four levels of truth. Most remote viewers can only access the first level of truth. A lot of garbage in there. You might be looking for... in the first level of truth, a typical remote viewer might look for, a missing girl in a sacred Indian burial mound. You know what I mean?
Yeah. So let's roll over this carefully again. Lucifer was an alien that created us, and also then created the four great religions that you suggest were designed to be at war with each other.
Lucifer. No, Lucifer did not create these religions. These religions were created...
The angels.
That's correct. The angels are the enemy of mankind.
We've been conditioned
to believe that they are a friend.
See, I'm having a hard time getting everything backwards. So the angels created the religions so we would all tear each other to pieces.
We're being programmed to go extinct. We have a belief system in Armageddon. And because we believe in something, we can create it.
That's true. We do believe in Armageddon, don't we?
We have a faith-based system in Washington that believes in Armageddon. And back to the fulcrum, 2004.
Yes.
What are we going to do? What is our choice? Because if we choose an administration that believes in Armageddon in the face of a collapsing ecosystem and an oil crisis, it doesn't take a psychic to know the outcome of that. You're going to have a global nuclear exchange fighting over dwindling natural resources and existence.
Well, since we're so far over limit on the number of human beings who can be here on Earth, perhaps that's a self-resolving problem.
You know why it isn't? Because the Earth ecosystem is in such a bad, it's in such a bad state right now. A nuclear war would shorten our ability. Definitely will be extinct as it is. In the future, we're heading towards human extinction. But we want to prolong the time in which we become extinct.
So we are headed for the end. I mean, complete extinction. All humans gone.
Yes, gone. The human being is on a pathway of extinction now, and there's no way to turn around. We're not smart enough to fix this.
If nothing changed, when would this extinction be complete?
I see, well, I've looked at this, and there are two, and we need to get into this because when we go down these timelines, we get into more complex probabilities. But I see humans alive on the planet, the last human alive on the planet, 300 years from now.
Hmm.
And that's if we're very, very careful. We develop cyborg we develop a cyborg through chip technology, liquid chip technology, transneurogenetics and so on, genetic engineering involving integrating your nervous system into a computer matrix like the internet. Everybody's linked up, and eventually you'll be able to transfer your consciousness through understanding and being in the matrix itself most of the time. You'll be able to transfer your essence into it in terms of your conscious awareness and your consciousness, your life, and so on. You'll be able to holographically project your life in the matrix, and that's the slipping slope. That's where we lose ourselves.
And how soon might that aspect of it begin? That's interesting.
That's in the year 2025.
2025, really?
Yes.
Okay.
The year 2025 is the exact year when we reach critical mass for slipping into the computer matrix and become cyborg. We do it for two reasons. Our ecosystem in such bad shape. Engineers are frantic to do something, to create a repository of human experience, a totality of the human life somewhere, because we know in 2025 that we're definitely going to be extinct soon. We don't have much longer to live.
And so we're going to be desperate to create a record of humanity's achievements and knowledge for what?
Permanence. It's instinctual. It's something that we strive for. All science is about achieving permanence.
Yes.
And so this is just an alternative way of permanence. Instead of we don't have time to convert to a silicon-based unit. What we do is we use computers to transfer our consciousness into an alternate reality. You know what is most bizarre about this?
Hmm?
To conserve energy, and all of nature does it. We develop a third sex. No kidding. All of the beings.
Wait a minute. We develop a third sex?
Yes. So there's no more dichotomy between the sexes or ideas and so on. It's a hellish environment, and they're begging to die. And I have access to what looks like a woman in a blue dress. And she says two things, Art, and you can remote view it. I have the queuing. She says two things. She says 2025, and I didn't discover until recently what that meant. And she says, kill us.
Kill
us? Begging. Yes, she's begging to die. They're all begging to die. And she wants to give the warning out now, don't go into the matrix.
This is pretty rough stuff, Aaron.
Oh, yeah. It's better to become nothing. It's better to step into the infinite and become extinct than to eternally exist in this computer matrix.
There are indications. I mean, I have interviewed scientists who are actually experimenting on themselves, implanting chips in their bodies already. I mean, it has begun.
Oh, you haven't even heard.
And I've talked to many others who have discussed the possibility of downloading the human brain into a processor.
Absolutely.
Oh, all of that. I mean, all of that is being talked about right now.
It's a part of a future that you can view. I got the Q numbers for it, and I can give you a blind target, and you'll get the same thing I have, and it's scary stuff. And it gets worse. There's more.
Aaron, I have intentionally avoided remote viewing. I'm one of those people who, with regard to the kinds of things you're talking about, doesn't know. And so then I suppose I should ask myself, then what am I sitting here doing interviewing you? But anyway, great to have you here. Hold on. We're at the top of the hour. Aaron Donahue, one of Major Ed Dame's students, is here. And you can definitely tell he's one of Major Ed Dame's students, can't you?
If woman can survive, they may find. In the year 35, ain't gonna need to tell the truth, tell no lies. Everything you think, do, and say is in the pill you took today.
Talk with Art Bell. Call the Wildcard Line at area code 775-727-1295. The first time caller line is area code 775-727-1222. To talk with Art Bell from east of the Rockies, call toll free at 800-825-5033. From west of the Rockies, call 800-618-8255. International callers may reach Art by calling your in-country Sprint access number, pressing option 5. And dialing toll-free 800-893-0903. From coast to coast and worldwide on the Internet, this is Coast to Coast AM with Art Bell.
My guest is Aaron Donahue. And, you know, Ed has said a few times that there's a point past which he can't see. He can't see a thing. And I wonder if Aaron's looked at that, and maybe that's what we're talking about right now.
Now it's been 10,000 years, man has cried a billion tears for what he never knew. Now man's reign is through.
Ed has talked about a point past which he cannot see, like a giant wall, and worrisomely, you know, kind of like, well, maybe he can't see anything because there is nothing to see. And I wonder if we could be talking about the same things, Aaron.
We have two things going on there. One, Ed is absolutely right about angelic intervention. Angels, especially if you have a holy and guardian angel in you or around you, influencing you outside of your awareness.
Mm-hmm.
They or it can block or protect you from certain knowledge. And when you go beyond a certain point, you're going to have to be brave. Things are dire and dismal, and there is no future for our young people. There's no future for anyone alive in there. And anyone who is existing in the midst of a dying ecosystem, of a failing, rapidly failing ecosystem, they know they have no future. They know they're going to go extinct. And extinction, you see, is not something we're accustomed to. The human mind, the brain,
doesn't grasp that.
Can never grasp it because it represents the infinite. And so it represents our ultimate fear.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why we see pre-extinction behavior patterns like Columbine. We can never understand why they would do something horrific like this. I think it's from childhood, and then we look at it, and it's not. What is it?
When you look at these pre-extinction factors, you mentioned a social one, and I see those, and I see weather changes, I see political changes, I see in every aspect of human endeavor, things would seem to be accelerating, and accelerating perhaps not in a favorable direction. So I do see that, and I've known that for quite some time. And you're saying this is part of that pattern.
Yes, we're beginning to exhibit pre-extinction, human pre-extinction behavior patterns. These are, you know, women will wake up and just kill their children, beat them with bats, or they drive into lakes and drown their children, and they won't know why they did it. They'll blame it on demons or what have you.
You, however, blame it on, no doubt, angels.
No, I don't blame, the angels don't do that sort of thing.
Huh.
No. In fact, demons don't do it either. That's a load of, you know, that's just not true.
Okay.
Neither angel or demon. Angels and demons are identical. You have one thing on one side for man and one thing against man.
So simply the pending pressure of this extinction is going to bring on more and more of these.
The purpose of, yes, it will, and the purpose of this dichotomy between the angels and demons is for, was supposed to be for our evolution. Lucifer's purpose was to impede the path of man in such a way that man could evolve. Something went wrong. We made some bad choices. It's all about the human being and what we choose. And we can't go back now. So right now, we're going to have to choose to remove the holy guardian angel and accept the demonic realms as our highest probability, something that could provide for the human race the highest probability of existence in the future for our children. We've got to disrupt this balance between the two now. So I'm calling for people to get rid, to trash their HGAs, and to accept the demonic realms of knowledge and direction, because it's all we have left on a dying planet. It's the only chance our children have of surviving the future. And this hooey we hear about demons making you do something. Humans make that choice. They choose to be evil. They create the evil. You can't blame it on the spirit realms because they don't move your arms and legs. We do that.
So, you know, I mean, what you say is going to be, you know, when you say it, that we, something like we must accept the darker, you know, the demonic, you're just driving people crazy out there. But the rest of what you say makes so damn much sense.
I know it. I go further. Wait till I start talking about the benefits of a one world order and 666 and what it means.
Could we, let's take a couple of things that I want to cover before we dive into that river.
Okay.
For example, Mars. You apparently have something to say about Mars. Now, we've got the rovers up there doing their thing, looking at rocks. And are they seeing anything up there other than rocks?
Yes, they are. And I have an announcement to make. We're going to discover, if we continue to study Mars.
Yes.
Now, I love science. I'm all for graphs and science and information. I'm an information junkie, and I'll tell you, this is very exciting to me. I think it's a waste of money. I think that it's a front for a space race between China. It's about military conquest between China and the United States. Again, it goes back to dwindling natural resources. We're gearing up for a global conflict.
You think it's a waste of money, but exciting.
Oh, yes, it is, because the other side of this research will show us prebiotic chemistry, which will reveal how Earth's early life began. When prokaryotic cells...
Well, that doesn't sound like a waste of money.
No, it is not, but it's not something that we expect to find right now. This is what I find when I view Mars. I have searched high and low. I have searched everywhere. Anything that is suspect, I view it, and I have not found a single structure there which is exotic in any way. There are a bunch of rocks. And I may have missed something, but so far I found nothing, Art. Mars is dead. The face on Mars is absolutely a mesa. But we will find on Mars. What happened to Mars is it had all the stuff to make life. It just wasn't in the right position with respect to the sun and so on. It didn't have the right temperatures. It didn't have the right conditions to spark up life the way Earth did. We were in the perfect place for it. What Mars is showing us is how unique and how wonderful and beautiful the Earth was. And the Earth is dying now because of human activity, because of bad choices we have made. Mm-hmm. There's no Planet X that's going to tilt and smash into us.
No Planet X.
No Planet X whatsoever. I've looked at it from a number of times. It does not exist. We're not going to tilt. We destroy ourselves. We go extinct because we do it to ourselves, because we overpopulated the planet. We destroyed our ecosystem. Our eco-balance is gone. It can't return.
There are many who will fast-blast an email. Oh, baloney. There's tons of empty space out there. This planet can support billions more people. Don't worry about it. A lot of those.
It's amazing, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
I'm not trying to say that they're less anyway. What I'm trying to say is they need to study a little more. They need to study more about our ecosystem. I find it interesting that we're learning more about, say, Mars than we are about crustaceans in the bottom of the ocean.
Yes,
and we need to, you know, we need to pay attention to our own planet, because, you know, when this theater closes, there's no place left to go. You can't colonize Mars. It's got a different gravitational field. Sperm cannot, its motility cannot function properly.
Mm-hmm.
In a different gravitational field. We've evolved to be here. We need to take care of our planet. We need to tend our garden now, and it's desperate. It's an absolute desperate thing. It's a no-brainer.
All right, where is the hope? In other words, if this is malleable in any way and extinction can be prevented, in what manner would it be achieved?
This is where the controversy comes in.
Yeah, I know. It's a worrisome question.
I have remote viewed, and I have viewed, and I've used PAN. I've used all the tools that I have as a psychic, and I've done this with blind targets, with other people.
Mm-hmm.
And what I have found is something we called Project E. I call it Project E. It refers to something very odd cross-culturally. It also refers, and because most of the listeners here in the United States are Christian,
mm-hmm.
They're familiar with the Garden of Eden.
Mm-hmm.
And here in the midst of the West, we see the Hopi, and they refer to Spider Woman's web in the center of the web where we pass into the fifth world and so on.
They do indeed.
Now, the legs of Spider Woman are the four angels guarding the gates of Eden. It's no different. When you remote view this, or when you view it, when you look at it, what you find is you find something that happened a long time ago. Noah. Noah went through this thing in an artificial craft that he did not build. Noah's Ark was a spaceship. And by the way, you find cattle mutilation all over the place prior to Noah's departure, and you find approximately 200,000 people. Why that number? Because that's required. The 144,000, as you might know, is required to maintain human genetic diversity.
Mm-hmm.
Why a whole human, and why not just grind them up like a cow and then reformulate them? Because the human carries the light of the soul. The cow does not. It can be cleaned up and reformulated and reintegrated into systems of information in the future, whereas a human cannot. We're very, very special, like our planet is very, very special. But you see, the difference between that time and this time, Hopi say we're passing into the fifth world,
mm-hmm.
the fourth world, the difference is this. This time, the Earth may not be able to be reseeded. We're not smart enough to fix this problem. And what we're going to discover with this prebiotic chemistry that we come back from Mars with, we discover it?
Yes.
What we're going to do is we're going to look at our Earth's chemistry, and we're going to relate it to that chemistry there, and we're going to realize something has gone terribly wrong. It'll be an indirect result of this work. We're going to realize with science, hardcore science, we're not coming back here, that planet Earth is going to have eventually an atmosphere like Venus.
Right.
We can't come back
here. That would be very troublesome for us. And
yeah.
Now, so... But the original question, Aaron, was how is this preventable?
Contact. We're not smart enough to fix this. We're in a jam, Art. We got a big problem here. We have to go to a higher information system to understand it. Now, remember I said the name of Lucifer was not his name, its
mm-hmm.
name?
Mm-hmm.
Its name, as it turned out, are 72 specific frequencies. I worked with the goetic demons of King Solomon. I pained over this for many years. I'm an accomplished ceremonial magician. I've worked with the evocation of demons
mm-hmm.
for years. And believe me, you can't just sit down and remote view a demon. It'll screw you up. You got to be an accomplished magician to do this, and you have to be very, very careful. You can't just walk in there and have contact with one of the 72 demons. The 72 goetic demons of Solomon each carried, ironically, maybe not ironically, maybe it was all planned, in stage 7, which stimulates the Wernicke's area of the brain, which produces auditory hallucinations.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I got a tone for each and every demon. I didn't know what it was until it was all done. When I reached the 72nd demon, I evoked the demon inside of a circle, did my cleansing and banishing and so on, all the rituals, and I made contact with the demon. I knew it was there standing behind me. You can feel it. Feels like it's claustrophobic. It's very electric in there and spooky. And I, with my remote viewing table in the midst of the circle where the demon was standing behind me, there I started making contact with the demon by remote viewing it all the way to stage 7. Each of the 72 demons I did that, and each one gave me a tone. When the last one was done, I had all the tones in my head, and nothing happened for about 2 weeks. Nothing. I was disappointed, and finally it hit me. I woke up in a cold sweat. This is me, an occultist, just trembling. It's unbelievable. What was happening? And I could hear a song. It was the most beautiful demonic choir you can ever imagine. It was the name of our progenitor, of Lucifer, the thing that I've been chasing all my life. And the brown robe beings, the things that showed me many future events, they're associated with Lucifer.
You probably scared Ed Dames.
I don't know. I didn't ask him if I don't know.
I'm just sitting here listening intently, and I mean, I can see that if you were doing this then, you would have worried Ed. You would have worried me. This is pretty dark stuff, and you know full well the average Christian reaction to what I've been hearing here is you're dealing, communicating with remote viewing demons, and you know they will do the worst. They're the trickiest. They will lead you down the wrong path. That's what their demons are.
Yes, that's what they
in the
I'd
Christian
like to liberate
world,
the demons from that false impression.
You'd like to liberate them from it.
Yes, because the angels have programmed
bad rap on them, huh?
Yeah, the angels have programmed people to think this.
You know, maybe you can react to this for me. The most troublesome thing that anybody has ever said to me on this program was said by John Lear, who was actually quoting someone else, maybe Whitley even. Anyway, it was the following. When you die, you know, the natural,
yeah,
your natural inclination is going to be go to the light.
Yeah.
Don't do it! It's a trick! You go to the darkness, and if you don't go to the darkness, you're lost.
I've been dead, so and if anybody should burn in hell for eternity, it should have been me.
No.
I didn't have the devil boinking me in the rear end with a pitchfork or anything. There's
no
gates of fire or anything. There's nothing like that happening. It was just, I'm going to tell you, that, no, you're right. You don't go to the light. Yeah. And you do eventually. But what's involved is when the brain stops functioning, and I know firsthand. I was in some 40-degree temperatures, so I was well-preserved.
What happened? What happened to you?
I had an anaphylactic reaction to penicillin. I shouldn't be telling people because I have now over 200 death threats, so... as a result of my various...
Oh, I bet you do get some email, don't you?
Oh, yeah.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
By the way, do you want to give out your email address?
Yes. Actually, if you go to my website at ummo.cc,
yes,
there you will be able to contact me. And that particular area can handle the traffic. So I get around 3,000 emails now every month. So.
Yes, warning everybody. There are some things I'm told on that website that Christians will be offended by. And so I give you that warning as I continue to warn you about Aaron tonight. There are some things I'm told on that website that will be very disturbing. I interview you people like you, Aaron, because... I want to know. I have, I know what it did to the cat, but I still want to know. And while you say things very offensive to Christians, the rest of what you say kind of makes sense. A lot of what you say makes sense. A little bit of what you just laid on me in the last 10 or 15 minutes was a little difficult, but still in all, it kind of makes sense, and that's troubling. If you're really involved with Lucifer, you should be a total maniac.
Yes. Some might say that, but the opposite is true. that Lucifer is our only answer to the future. And by the way, all falsehood is reassuring, whereas truth is always disturbing, especially in these days. So if it is disturbing, you're probably within yourself touching on some truth.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm not here to convert anyone. That's not my job. I can only live by example. I know that the vast majority of people, in fact, we do have a number, 5.3 billion,
yeah,
are going to be dying soon.
With respect to the New World Order, the one world government, and all the rest of that, I take it you regard it as inevitable. You welcome it in view of what is coming. Is that?
Enthusiastically.
Enthusiastically.
Yes.
So bring it on.
You bet.
Okay. We'll discuss that.
I see the moon horizon.
At least.
I see trouble on the way.
Aaron Donahue is my guest, and you've been warned.
I see waves of lightning. I see.
Subscribe to After Dark. Call toll-free 1-888-727-5505. Talk with Art Bell. Call the wildcard line at area code 775-727-1295. The first-time caller line is area code 775-727-1222. To talk with Art Bell from east of the Rockies, call toll-free at 800-825-5033. From west of the Rockies, call Art at 800-618-8255. International callers may reach Art Bell by calling your in-country Sprint access number, pressing option 5. And dialing toll-free 800-893-0903. From coast to coast and worldwide on the Internet, this is Coast to Coast AM with Art Bell.
You know, I wonder how many of you can feel it. Whether you agree or disagree, I know many of you disagree with Aaron Donahue. With regard to what he said about the Earth, its capacity, where we're going, and the possibility, a sort of a nervous little tick at the back of your mind telling you that something is profoundly wrong. How many of you can feel that? It's always conceivable that there could be yet even a small portion of the audience that we've not yet managed to offend, so let's go after them. With regard to the New World Order and a one-world government and all the conspiracies and all the rest that goes along with that, Aaron, you say you welcome it. You enthusiastically welcome it, I think.
Yes.
Why?
It's time to promote this thing. It's time to go out in the open and actually begin from the grassroots all over the world to promote the idea of uniting a world government. And how do we do it? Through our market system. Our market system is the number one target of not only the terrorists, but it's also the target. It's the first thing that will begin to reflect our dying ecosystem, our failing ecosystem, and, of course, our energy problems that we're now facing.
Mm-hmm.
And yet when I look into the future, because I'm very interested in market trends, it's one of my I can't get enough of this stuff. It's just fascinating because it really does reflect modern man and what it's thinking. The thing about future markets is I see them fairly stable, and they're not reflecting very chaotic situations. So when I view this, I find something very interesting. I find going way back to the present, I find F.M. Bonsall, who is training students now and screening them for me. These are my students in the future that are nailing order within the chaos of a market using PAN, or the practical application of non-historical data. They're looking for specific trends for investors in the midst of a chaotic market, and it is the only reason that future markets exist. And these people are handpicked to think a certain way.
Well, it makes sense to me. I mean, we began early on trading with each other. Villages traded with villages, and then cities with cities, and states with states, and countries with countries, and obviously, the trend is irreversible and well underway. I mean, we are on our way to a one-world economy, and from that will eventually spring, probably, a one-world government as just a natural following. Maybe not in our lifetimes, but I do see it headed inexorably that way. It's headed that way.
It's a natural process, and we will see it within our lifetimes. We have to, because I'm pushing for this early. I want this to happen right away.
Sounds
not
like
only
it.
For our children.
What do you think the nature of this one world government would be?
It would be a communal type of government, not like Marxism. Marxism lacks spirituality. That's the reason why it failed. That's why it's failing today. So you're going to see a spiritual community of like-minded people, the intelligentsia, are going to be ahead of the state, and we're going to be giving up our individual freedoms. And we have to put this into context. First of all, we can't have the rights that we have today anymore, because resources have to be allocated from a central location in order to provide the greatest good for the greatest number of people in terms of providing the optimum future for succeeding generations.
Sounds like Marxism.
It is, but it's a spiritual form of a community, of a communal system. It is a spiritual form of communism. But you can't call it Marxism, because there are some amendments, there are some loopholes, if you will, that allow certain freedoms based upon how dedicated you are to the system. So you're not becoming a hypocrite by climbing the ladder within the system. You're rewarded certain freedoms that you wouldn't normally have, to remind you of the old days when we still had the experiment of freedom here in the West.
And so you don't see much of a democracy.
Democracy daughters. It's failing.
You see more, well, I mean, the communists certainly had favors for the party elite, and that's what you're saying will always be.
Well, yes, only this is going to be different, because it'll be in the open, and it will be an integration of the West and Eastern ideas of what a government should be. But again, you have to put it in the context of a dying Earth. We're doing this, and this system is created out of necessity. And I'm saying right now, we can avoid World War III if we go to a one-world government. If the United States government, I'm sorry to cut you off, Art.
No, it's all right. I mean, do you see this as a benign dictatorship? Or would you not venture that word, benign?
I would say it's a type of leadership that, and I've looked at this carefully, it's a very kind leadership, and it's also a very unkind leadership to those who betray the ideals of providing an optimum future for succeeding generations. If you break the rules, we're going to remove the chip from you. We're not going to execute you. We'll give you one opportunity. You're going to be deprogrammed and then resocialized. And if that doesn't work, then the chip is going to be removed from you, and we're going to make you starve to death. You're going to be put outside of the system. And you can't pass because of future terrorist problems, and they're only going to get worse. Because of future security problems, they're only going to get worse because resources are dwindling. This is the core of everything. Overpopulation is the problem, is the core of everything.
And how will this new world structure address the problem of overpopulation?
My favorite question, and I wish we had done it 20 years ago,
mm-hmm.
Forced sterilization for all people with disabilities and lower IQs. Mm-hmm. We have to allocate resources for the greatest good for the greatest number. And that means that people of lower IQs, people with IQs below 100, will be forced into, they'll be sterilized. They will not have a choice.
Now, to most people, this now begins to sound not quite so benign and more like the Nazis.
Well, the idea of eugenics was actually a good idea. Now, I thought Hitler was an insane person. By the way, he was on amphetamines. It was their super victory drug, if you will, to motivate the troops. The Japanese used amphetamines as well as a motivator for the troops. Hitler
pilots,
went insane on this drug.
Some of our pilots use amphetamine to stay awake. You know,
well, it's probably not to the extent that Hitler is using it to stay awake.
Probably not.
I mean, you can see it in his salute and in his voice and everything. He's definitely burning brain cells. He's destroying his brain cells. He eventually has a stroke as a result of using these drugs. And he was combining it with heroin. Or opiates, if you will. So that's what happened to Hitler. He was insane. Drug-induced psychosis. He was not a sociopath. He was drug-induced psychotic. Probably had some sociopathic tendencies. If you look at the way he dealt with his people and his government and so on, especially towards the end. But that's what happened to Hitler.
Well, this is a fairly... a big brotherish world, being kind here, that you're talking about right now, and
yeah.
I don't see how you can be welcoming all this enthusiastically if you really think it's...
I am very, very enthusiastic about and very passionate about promoting this.
Well, I can tell.
Yes, because it's our only hope of providing a future for our children. We need to buy time. We've got to buy time, and we've got to provide... Lucifer is behind all of this. Lucifer is not, that's not the name of this thing. It has 72 tones,
yes.
72 frequencies. That its name is actually a song.
So I will be screaming to, please don't take my 666 chip, right?
If you don't have the chip,
yeah.
Don't eat.
That's right.
Period. And that's how we control the masses. And the masses have to be controlled because the experiment in freedom produced a dead earth. We got to take the freedoms away. They've got to go, and it's out of necessity. We're talking about this early because many people are in a state of denial now.
You know, I actually do have kind of a chilled feeling that what you're saying, at least about, well, let's imagine for a second, the people who imagine they're running the world, whether they are or not, if they're looking at the harsh realities that you're describing with reference to our environment, the oil, the overpopulation, all the rest of it, somebody probably is thinking about all of this somewhere.
More than just one person. I guarantee it.
Oh?
Absolutely.
And so how far along is their plan? How well executed is their plan heading us toward this inevitable future?
I guarantee you that I'm not the only one promoting the idea right now, and it's done in various ways. We must do this, or we risk early extinction. We will eventually become extinct, the human being. But we need to provide an optimum future to lengthen the time before we become extinct so we have a chance of solving our problem. And we're not going to solve it with technology because we're not smart enough to do this.
Mm-hmm. By the way, let's drop back. You did drop this contact thing on us that we cannot do this ourselves. We will require contact with
Lucifer. Lucifer, there's only one alien that visits the planet.
Hmm.
There's another bombshell for everybody, and it's all relative to Lucifer.
And all these UFOs and mutilations that we see and crop circles and all the rest of that?
Preparation. We're looking at the same cycle that had occurred during the time of Noah. Noah was carried over with approximately 200,000 people. And we see the same situation occurring again. But something's wrong. We need to make contact with our progenitor because something is desperately wrong. And by the way, one of the first signs of contact, I've been working on this project for years now, is three dancing orange balls of light in a triangular pattern. I call it the xenotransdimensional beacon. Ed and I, we've looked at this. I've been chasing that thing, and I've isolated a place where we can bring out the xenotransdimensional beacon in New Mexico. No kidding.
What is it?
This is like a red flag. This is announcing a contact event. That's exactly what that is. And it's a form of entrainment. It draws your attention away from the actual ship. And some people can be manipulated outside of their awareness once they're entrained. A girl that I was with, in that area, by the way, because I'm going to frequent the area, by the way. I have photographs. Because I know how to evoke contact. But I only can get photographs of these triangular things.
Mm-hmm.
And I can't get to the craft. It's not time yet. But they know we're here. You can remote view a precise location and time. Using PAN, you can isolate a place on the Earth and a number for time, and you can be there and wait for this thing to show up. All you have to do is take your camera and take photographs. But that's not good enough. We need contact. And what I'm seeing is that there, whatever it is, Lucifer is interested. We're not smart enough. We're not wise enough. We're not figuring it out. Collectively, we can never understand this higher information system. And I call Lucifer, not Lucifer, but a gate. This is a gateway.
Have you considered, Aaron, the possibility that that which you call Lucifer and those which you call the demons and so forth and so on are not what you think they are?
Yes, that's, of course, when I've been doing this for so long and that question comes up so often. What I see is I look at a world dominated by angelic influences. You must admit that. And look at where we are on the planet. What have the angels done for us?
Okay, that's my question. What have the angels done for us?
Look at your world.
Right. You mentioned the large religions.
Four great religions were all created.
So what have they
angels.
Done? What have they done for us lately?
Zero. They're completing their mission to turn man against man. They're completing their mission to make us extinct. Now, why would they do that? Because within us is the divinity of the one they've turned against, Lucifer. There's a war in heaven over us.
Mm-hmm.
We have that divinity within us. That DNA change is something that those angels don't want to evolve. Do you know what our purpose was? As man, when you remote view this, it's fascinating.
What?
We were supposed to reach in perfect harmony with Earth. If we had tended the garden, if we were vegetarians and so on, we'd maintain the garden and taken care of Earth. We could have reached 10 billion people. That was supposed to be the threshold. Why 10 billion? Because this was our nexus. This was our chance to step into another reality. Another totality for the human experience. This is our step up. And we blew it. We needed 10 billion people to operate at 10 billion neurons firing simultaneously, all matching resonance. All these people initiated and aware of who they are and how they relate to the universe around them, matching resonance all at the same time. 10 billion times 10 billion neurons firing simultaneously. By the way, 10 billion neurons, you might say that defines consciousness. This is the point where, in third trimester, this is the point where the soul is transmitted in the body. Before that, it's just a spirit and a lump of flesh inside the womb.
Huh.
The soul begins to be transmitted when 10 billion neurons fire. You go below that threshold, and you no longer transmit the light of the soul.
You know, in a lot of ways, if I were to take just a few of the words you use, like Lucifer, demons, angels, God, although I haven't heard you say God a lot, but, you know, if I just made you reverse those words, you'd be a preacher.
Really?
Well, maybe a psychic, you know, kind of religious guy.
I'm very
guy,
passionate
but I mean,
about our children and our future,
well,
and our only chance is to do this. I'm risking my life to do it. I could be, put yourself in my shoes, I can see lottery numbers. Why don't I just buy an island somewhere and disappear?
Well, why don't you, Aaron?
Because I can't stand watching our planet die. I get my energy with the Earth. I see its beauty. I've grown up with its beauty. I'm a synesthete. I'm a sensitive. And I've been feeling the Earth die as long as I can remember being aware.
So you're saying you feel a duty to humanity.
I look at our children, and I love our children, and I can't allow the angelic influences to destroy their future. And I spiritually, I have eyes, and I can see the influence, and I can see how man has been programmed to confuse himself. He does not know what he should know. He is spiritually ignorant. I'm spiritually ignorant, but not to that extent. I look at things not just teleologically, but deontologically. I look at both the big picture and small picture, and I combine the two. And when I look at the big picture, I see what the angelic influence has done to the planet. Right now, we are more Christians on the planet than we've ever had, ever.
Mm-hmm.
There are more Muslims than ever before. People are profoundly religious today. From religions, the four great religions, which are all influenced by angels outside of our awareness. When a Christian says, Jesus, come into my heart,
mm-hmm.
I accept you, and you give yourself to Jesus.
Yes.
How do you know what you're putting in your body? Why don't people ask the question, I want to see, spiritually, I want to see what it is that I'm giving my soul and body to.
Aaron, if I open the phone lines, what do you think will happen?
I already know.
You already know?
Yes.
Okay. Well,
it'll be interesting.
Maybe, maybe not. Interesting it will be. You can bet on that. All right, stay right there. Oh, boy. Coming up, that's what we're going to do. We're going to open the phone lines. My guest is Aaron Donahue, and isn't he odd? Indeed. I mean, so much of it is, well, maybe almost blasphemous, right? From your point of view. But then on the other hand, there's these moments of lucid intellectual concern.
To advertise your still.
Talk with Art Bell. Call the Wildcard Line at area code 775-727-1295. The first-time caller line is area code 775-727-1222. To talk with Art Bell from east of the Rockies, call toll-free at 800-825-5033. From west of the Rockies, call 800-618-8255. International callers may reach Art by calling your in-country Sprint access number, pressing option 5. And dialing toll-free 800-893-0903. From coast to coast
and worldwide on the Internet. This is Coast to Coast AM with Art Bell.
You could be listening to the theme song of the New World Order and the One World Government. If you ever stopped and really listened to the words,
it could be their theme.
I want to remind everybody, the very core of this program is bring information to the fore that you don't hear elsewhere for your consideration, rejection, amusement, whatever it may be. The very reason for the existence of a program of this sort is to air material that you just won't hear anywhere else. And that's certainly Aaron Donahue. Aaron, welcome back.
Thank you.
It's going to be interesting, I think, to get the reaction of just a general person. And I think I, too, can probably imagine the reactions, but I've been surprised before. Why don't we find out? First time caller line, you're on the air with Aaron Donahue. Hello.
Hello.
Hi.
Hi.
Hello.
Number one, I think it's very interesting the way he keeps saying, we are going to put a chip in you. We are not going to allow you to do this. We are going, meaning he's on the side of what he thinks is going to be the leaders of the world.
It sounds that way, yes.
Yeah. And it's still the same old left-wing crap. It's clothed in a new so-called intellectual language. But that does not necessarily mean that someone is making sense. Number one, where he gets this thing about the world is all depressed.
Now, first of all, you're talking directly to him. So.
Oh, okay. Aaron, where do you get this idea? How depressing. But for you to spread the gloom, this is being done by television. This is being done by people not being able to control the gore and the blood and the stuff that's in our entertainment world. We don't get to sing anymore. We have to watch these people kill each other,
yeah.
Put on shows on vampires. There are so many youths going around.
Oh, my God. There's nobody who's put a vampire on
no,
the air.
No, they have a show where they actually believe it.
Oh,
happened.
Come on. Nobody would do that.
Yeah, they do have one. They really do. I couldn't believe it.
Yeah,
and this kind of stuff
either.
Is depressing.
Mm.
And
okay, all right. So it's depressing.
It's depressing, but this is just another cloaked socialism. This one world government is socialism, and when you said it sounded like Nazism,
well,
it
yeah.
is the same thing.
Yeah,
all these rules that Aaron and his ilk are going to put on us, well, you know, come on. We are going to get to where we're going to revolt against all this. We want to be happy again as a people.
All right, well, here's an interesting question.
And that has faith in God
Let's find out, with regard to what you first said. Aaron, where do you, if the one world government and the one world whatever were to form tomorrow, where do you picture yourself in the structure?
Absolutely in the midst of it, promoting it, and indeed participating with it. I would probably be most interested in the spiritual aspect as well as the aspects involving deprogramming and resocialization.
Ah, you really want to be in the middle of the mud, huh?
I think those are the most interesting positions, and that would be up to the council to do something like that.
So it wouldn't bother you to issue, based on what you see, the edicts on population control, reprogramming, camps, the chips, the whole works, right?
They're necessary, especially the camps.
Especially the camps.
Yes. In fact, the vast majority of people are going to resist at first.
Yes.
But they'll understand in time because of, you have to put it into context. Now, I understand, I'm sorry, ma'am, I don't know your name, but you have to put it into context.
Well, see, she's probably headed right for one of the camps.
Well, most likely,
yeah,
she may meet me in the future, or someone like me. And will be counseled or given the option of having the chip removed, and then you starve to death, and that's the end of it.
Mm-hmm. Well, the Christians, of course, think you're exactly right, that there will come a time when Christians will be rounded up, tortured, killed, and reprogrammed.
No one will be tortured. No one will be killed.
I'm sorry, let me drop the torture part.
Yeah. Yeah, they think we're going to send them off into the lion dens.
Well, starving them to death, though, is fairly radical.
This is their choice. We our door is open.
It was said they would have the choice to take that chip or not.
That's correct, and our door is open. They can only exclude themselves.
So you agree with a great deal of what they say in some strange ways. Wild Card Line, you're on the air with Aaron Donahue. Hello.
Hi.
Hi.
I guess your previous caller didn't hear last night's show, did she?
Well, no, maybe not.
Okay. Well, Aaron, you have talked about the extinction of humanity, and Ed Dames talked about souls being harvested. I would like to know what you see as the purpose of the soul and what happens to it after death, and also who or what is God.
That's a lot.
Mm-hmm.
Purpose of the soul.
We are information systems, and our job is to evolve intellectually, spiritually, and physically. And we were supposed to reach up into the highest of information systems, which I define as God. Lucifer's gate is just another access into a higher information system. We are information systems. That's what we do. We gather. We're holographic projectors. We gather information. We were created so the universe might see itself through our own nervous systems.
Is Lucifer a gate to God? Is that what you're saying?
Lucifer is a gate into the highest system of information, and Lucifer itself, its name is a song. I have to clarify that.
Mm-hmm.
But for all intents and purposes, it was designed to show us, to point to our ultimate fear, which is Venus. This is what our Earth will become, and when it happens, we will lose our souls. We can't have a soul transmitting through us without a healthy planet, without the Earth being alive. So we lose our souls.
Okay, so if the planet dies, our souls die.
That's correct. There's no more transmission of the light.
That's very close to, well, not exactly, but it kind of tracks a little with the Hopi, doesn't it?
Oh, absolutely. By the way, I went to the Hopi, and I gave them the missing Fire Clan tablet after Ed again gave me another blind target way back in Beverly Hills, and I located the missing Fire Clan tablet, and I discovered that the Messiah... By the way, you're all going to find this interesting. The Messiah. Bahamas is not the Messiah. This is a concept. I'm just this stumbling white guy learning about Hopi culture, and I happened to remote view the location and meaning of the missing Fire Clan tablet. I gave it to him, and I can never go there again because white man is not supposed to know these things. But I did my job. I gave, it's just part of history. We're part of information systems.
And how did they receive it?
The women were very angry. By the way, I don't want to shed a bad light on the Hopi. They're waiting to be passed into the fifth world. The elders of it's the red cloak being is returned. The Pahana was improperly received. Now the Pahana is a concept. It's not an actual person. It's not one person. It's a concept. It's the lost white brother. It refers to the bicameral existence of the brain and the breakdown of that sort of thing, and patterns all throughout history as the Hopi recognize them.
All right. East of the Rockies, you're on the air with Aaron Donahue. Hello.
Hello. Good evening, gentlemen.
Good evening.
This is Jason from Cleveland, listening on WTAM.
Yes, sir.
Okay, I am half asleep here, and I just would like to say, Aaron, I would like to establish contact with you in the future. Quick comment and a quick question. I'm pretty much right with you, except on the aspect of the one world government. But, I can let that slide. First, my quick comment is that a week ago, everything that you mentioned about consciousness being downloaded into a matrix, I actually had a very disturbing out-of-body experience in which something exactly like that was revealed to me. And my question, the answer to which I can listen to on the air, is in what way would a Maitreya figure into this?
Mm-hmm.
Yes, the Maitreya is the Buddhist version of the Messiah, it's not all the Buddhist version of it, but it is a Buddhist version, and the Maitreya, again, is conceptual. It's not an actual person. It's what you think. It's what's in your forehead, not what is on your forehead. Are you with us?
I think...
spiritually?
Yes. You remember that young lady was on? She also asked what happens to our soul when we die.
Well, we don't die if the Earth dies, okay? But there is not reincarnation. This is very, very esoteric and very complex. this would perhaps be another show, but it is a fascinating subject and one that I have been working on because it's a great, great mystery. We all share the soul. There's no soulmate.
It is a collective.
Yes. It's an information system. It's another way that the universe and all other universes gather and store information. We have galaxies long burned out. They're gone. But the information will be there forever. Information never goes away. And this is another example of it. But if you become a ghost, your past life, you don't have a future. You don't have lips to talk. And I have to laugh at these people claim they can talk to the dead.
Mm-hmm.
That's a load. That is simply not true. You don't talk to the dead. You're talking to a VCR machine of a recorded past life, and it's not alive.
Yeah, it could be.
Yeah.
That certainly could be. Even the people who record these things acknowledge that could be. West of the Rockies, you're on the air with Aaron Donahue. Hello. Hello?
Hello?
Yes, yes, yes.
Yeah, hi. My question is, I'm curious if when a person dies, okay, his soul is because there's when the electric spark leaves the body, can it return to another body? I mean, is it...
No, the answer to that, according to Aaron, would be absolutely no. You just finished telling us, didn't you, Aaron? No reincarnation?
No reincarnation, but there are matching resonances. There are genetic similarities that will allow you to transmit cellular information. For example, you get a heart transplant.
Sure.
You're going to begin to integrate with the genetic structure, or the cellular intelligence is going to become expressed. And eventually, in time, you're going to be able to think thoughts that you haven't had before.
That's true. That's absolutely true. I've interviewed quite a number of transplant folks, heart, lungs. I mean, really serious transplants, and it's true. They take on the characteristics of the person who donated those organs, the wants, the likes, the dislikes, the tastes. They develop all these things of, you know, the person who gave. It's incredible. So it's true. There must be some sort of cellular transmission of information when such organ transplants occur.
We are all systems of information, and we share information. That's our job.
That
That's what mankind
sense.
Is.
Yeah, that makes sense. International Line, you're on the air with Aaron Donahue. Hello.
Yes, good morning, Art and Aaron.
Hi, where are you calling from?
I'm calling from Vancouver, Canada.
Okay, you're going to have to kind of yell at us. You're not very loud.
Okay, I'm listening on the CFUN 1410.
Right.
My name is Sally.
Okay.
I have a comment and a question.
All right.
The comment, in response to your question, I do feel that the Earth is revolving, is escalating towards something. You asked if we had that feeling that it was going somewhere downhill.
Yes.
And the question I have for Aaron... Aaron, do you know, do you have any sense of when this end time will happen? Is it 2012 or 2030, an idea of this world end time?
2304 is the last human, and I'll tell you, it's a gruesome sight. There are flies everywhere. Mold is covering everything. Eukaryotic cells are consuming what's left. Insects rule the planet.
2304
is the last human being that I see. Now, that depends on choices that we make starting in 2004. That's the fulcrum. Now, if we take care of what we have left of our ecosystem, if we prolong life as long as we can,
okay,
then the last human being alive exists in
2304. Okay, but a very important question would be, Aaron, if things don't begin to turn around, when will present systems, economic and social systems, be so stressed and so broken down that we basically have a Mad Max scenario? Obviously, somewhere long before 2304, which is the last gasp, mm-hmm. things will be untenable. When does that part begin?
The economic slump will begin for the U.S. and will become noticeable in 2005, but the economy does not fail.
All right, got that. I remember.
Because we have specific people that are trained to look for order within the chaos of markets, and we keep the markets alive, and we gear the markets towards a European market. So many of us are working in Europe who I've trained, who F.M. Bonsall has trained as well. This is what we see when you view it in the future.
Yes, but surely before the last human dies, there's going to be a period of time that's just not going to be real sociable.
If we have a nuclear exchange...
That would do it.
Then couple that with the 1-2 punch of a peak oil production downswing.
Put some dates on that.
Yes, I have dates on that. And an abrupt, and you combine that with an abrupt ecological change?
Well, go ahead and put some dates on it.
Okay. This is fascinating. If we go into nuclear exchange as a result of Bush inflaming things between China and the United States, and that's quite likely because of dwindling resources, then you will see a drastic reduction or a die-off of large numbers of human beings between the year 2009 and 2030. By the time we reach 2055, you're going to see human extinction. It's gone. There's no more humans. You can't live on the planet. I mean, we're polluted as it is now. You should see what it feels like then. The flies are thick because of the decaying matter so much that they block the sun, and it's deafening in some cases. Flies. The air is stale, and there's fungus everywhere. The only place where you find people alive, there are very few of them, along seashores. They don't go up in the mountains because there's no oxygen, and they don't live down in caves. They're along seashores, and I wondered why. Because of plankton. It's the only source of oxygen left.
And so those few pathetic surviving humans will go to the seashore and try and take the last of the oxygen available. Otherwise,
there's
it sounds...
oxygen farms there from technology that we develop. No. It has something to do with the movement of the sea because
first,
our energy is...
First time caller line. You're on the air with Cheerful Aaron.
Yes. Hello.
Hi.
Hi. I'm Zoe.
Zoe? Okay. Yeah. Zoe, you're going to have to speak up.
Okay. I'm sorry. And I listen to you on my computer.
Okay.
Which I have no idea what the name of it is, but I listen to you on my computer, and I'm calling from Pendleton, Oregon.
All right.
And I really do believe a lot of what Aaron has to say. I used to be a Christian, and in the Bible it mentions a lot of the things that Aaron had mentioned about being... marked and things like that.
All of this really is true. I mean, it tracks in an eerie kind of way, and if you swapped a few words, you could be a preacher.
I don't think it's eerie. I think it's true, and I think that the faster it comes along, I think the better it will be. One question I want to ask Aaron, though, is I think the oceans are dying. Now, if the oceans die, what happens to us?
You're correct. The oceans are dying, and it's the saddest thing. It's horrible. And, you know, we're developing we're getting ready for a global conflict, and we're developing technologies. You don't even know the half of it. I know most of it.
I bet we don't know the half of it.
It's horrible what we're doing to our marine life because of these technologies involving communications. You know, President Bush has given the okay to develop everything between HAARP. And, by the way, we're going to begin. Now, I'm going to get in trouble for this, but I have to do it because I'm so incensed by it. If we re-elect President Bush...
Which he will be re-elected.
Yes, I unfortunately can't say that, unfortunately.
Well,
I'm sorry. There's something else behind this that I can't really talk about.
Yeah, I know.
It's not unfortunate, but there is... it's just the way it is. We have to accept this because we're powerless. We can't break the laws. We've got to go with the system, and there is a system in place... that we've got to work for peacefully. And that may require President Bush being reelected.
But sometimes peacefully doesn't really bring along what needs to be done.
All right.
Peacefully doesn't mean you lay down and let yourself get nailed.
Hold on, Aaron. Young lady, hold on. We'll be right back. Rough stuff in the middle of the night. I'm Art Bell.
The After Dark Newsletter. Subscribe now by calling toll-free 1-888-727-5505.
Wild? To talk with Art Bell, call the Wildcard line at area code 775-727-1295. The first-time caller line is area code 775-727-1222. To talk with Art Bell from east of the Rockies, call toll-free 800-825-5033. From west of the Rockies, call 800-618-8255. International callers may reach Art by calling your in-country Sprint access number, pressing option 5, and dialing toll-free 800-893-0903. From coast to coast and worldwide on the Internet, this is Coast to Coast AM with Art Bell.
Want to take a ride? Ladies and gentlemen, flight 666 is boarding just over there to the left. Once again, Aaron Donahue, and Aaron, I bring back with me the young lady we were discussing things with a moment ago. Are you still there?
Yes, I am.
Okay.
Oh, sorry.
Good. Anything else? I didn't want to just cut you off there.
Well, I wanted to find out how can we keep, I know that they're building and have built here in the United States, not just for the Japanese people a long time ago, but currently camps.
So it is rumored, yes.
And that they're building railroad railings or, you know, to transport people to these camps.
Okay, let's take that one and run with it. Aaron, there are rumors all over the place, have been for years, that there are these barbed wire encampments that pilots have reported that they've seen from the air. And, you know, it's pretty deep conspiracy stuff. Is there anything to it?
Well, first of all, I'm not a conspiracy person, but conspiracy can be fun, and sometimes scary. In this case, there's no conspiracy. Like with NASA, there's no conspiracy to cover anything up on Mars. In this case, there's no conspiracy to throw people away in camps. First of all, there will be camps, and they'll be highly visible, and we want to make them visible to people so they know they don't want to go there.
Mm-hmm.
And camps are never something that's hidden or precluding something else. It's something that's up front with everyone, and it has to be for psychological reasons and for reasons that involve crowd control. Mm-hmm. The psychological fact they're there alone will really keep people in order. Now, here's the thing. We will have camps in the future, and many of them, and more than we need. But the camps will not be in countries like the United States, not right away. There will be a centralized government, and the United States does have plans that involve crowd control for other reasons, but not reasons that concern a singular world government or United World European Council. It's not going to be like that. So that camp that you're seeing, if it is a camp, has mm-hmm. nothing whatsoever to do with the United World Council.
Not what's coming.
No. What's coming is going to be far more spooky to those people who might resist, and it should be.
You know, since you're, well, sort of there in the design stage, what would these camps be like? I mean, how uncomfortable would they be, or comfortable? I mean,
I'm not in the design stage, but they will be processing camps, and they will involve counseling. And we'll be giving people options of what to do with their lives and their future. They'll be separated from the families and so on.
Mm.
But the thing about this is that they'll be giving a primary choice.
Yes.
The choice is you can have your chip removed.
Right.
And you can be exiled.
Or
you can be resocialized. And you'll be watched. And you'll be cared for. And you'll be given a position where you might work planting genetically altered trees, conifers, that are designed to produce the greatest amount of oxygen and prevent soil erosion and so on. And you'll be producing a liquid green food to feed the masses.
Soil, the good old soil green, I suppose?
I suspect that it's more to do with chlorella, which has both RNA and DNA within it. And,
Ed has mentioned chlorella.
And ionizing radiation.
Yeah, Ed's mentioned chlorella.
Yes. It's going to be a future source of nutrition for people, and it's within the nucleus of this particular organism, which, by the way, thrives in ionizing radiation.
Mm-hmm. This organism is thought to be one of the first foods, but within its nucleus is the world's most powerful antioxidant. And we need antioxidants in the future that are that powerful just to keep our immune system in order because of our environment. It's just so ruined. We have to be healthy. And so antioxidants, extreme antioxidants, play a major role in keeping a population healthy.
Uh-huh. So there would be the administration of those certainly as well at Camp New World or whatever.
Well, these are just aspects of the camps that I've viewed, and they're perfectly humane. Mm. And I'm going to say it.
What?
We deprogram the religiosity from people. We deprogram Christians and Muslims.
Take
and
that
Hindus
religion right and, out of them.
Yes, they're deprogrammed there, and rather, you have to put it into context. It's a secular society, but yet there's a spiritual component, and if you don't adhere to the spiritual component of that society in the future...
How would you do this? How would you deprogram somebody from their religious belief? That's quite a job.
I deprogram my own parents.
Well, how?
It's actually quite easy to do that.
How?
Truth. You make them see it. And you live by an example. And in my case, there were several ways that really cued my parents in that they've been manipulated. For example, angelic possession or angelic influences outside of your awareness. It's a matter of timing. If you teach a person how to watch themselves and how they behave and their timing, they'll realize that there are some things that you do in your life, you don't know why you did them.
I'm still stuck on the phrase angelic possession.
Yeah.
That's pretty wild. Got to think backwards when a person talks to you. Let's see. Wildcard line, you're on the air with Aaron Donahue. Hello.
Hi, Art.
Hi.
You and I both said Soylent Green at the same time.
Oh, really?
Aaron, first of all, a few truths and then a question. Jesus said Lucifer is the father, but the father of lies, deception, cunning, deceptive, cunning, the most can imagine, as I'm hearing tonight. The hope, we have dominion over this world, over animals, over demons, through what Christ had conquered at the cross. Another thing I heard you say, we got to remove the holy angels and then we got to get to the demonic level. Isn't it true that Satan cannot tread on holy ground? He cannot do his work that belongs to God, and that's why you're saying all this deception.
Okay, well, hold it.
Okay.
Pause. Let's get some kind of answer here.
Okay.
That Satan can't tread on that ground. What about that, Aaron?
Well, what I have to say overall is this. You know your scripture. So do I. Christ said it's best to know thine enemy. I know it quite well. Let me put it this way. Christ himself.
Well.
Yeah. Christ himself said, referred to himself as the morning star, did he not?
That was in a statement. He said, I am the morning star.
Okay, what is the morning star?
Right. Okay, I know the morning star also means...
Venus. What is Venus in Latin?
Venus is a god. That's
Lucifer.
The planet of love.
Okay. To you, maybe, but if you go back from Hebrew, your own Bible, which you need to learn. I don't mean to be crass.
I must apologize for that.
It's just that you're making some statements about the Bible that are only half true. You need to look at what the Bible is really saying. Do you know what
it is?
Your...
Holy Spirit.
Ma'am, Aaron, stop. Slow up. Ma'am,
okay.
Ask. Go ahead and ask one more question.
Okay.
Then we'll give it back to Aaron. Ma'am?
Yes?
Yes, go ahead.
Oh, okay. When he went down to hell and got the keys, he has it locked up, and he knew. And he knew, he said, it's done and it's finished. Do you know what he meant by that, Aaron?
Aaron?
Well, first of all, who is he and what are you referring to? Because I don't believe in any of this. I've looked at this. It's a bunch of nonsense. There's a great deal in the Bible that doesn't make any sense. So please enlighten me. What are you talking about?
All right. you know, how did you come to these conclusions about the Bible?
Oh, my. First of all, you start with Hebrew. Mm-hmm. You look at the origin of the Bible, and then you work your way out there. This whole thing about the Bible code, for example, is being some sort of proof that the Bible is of a higher intelligence and somehow God was involved.
Yes.
let me put it this way, Liber Alva Legis, you can apply a code to that particular book as well, which is the opposite of the Bible in many ways, and you'll discover amazing correlations between words and verses, and you'll hear all you'll understand and learn great things about the future. What you're getting with the Bible is an angelic-inspired deception. It was designed to destroy the way you look at yourself and your future.
You're telling me both produce numerically significant results.
You bet they
both
do.
Both books, huh?
We're all systems of information. And the intelligence that gave Aleister Crowley that particular book also had a system, a code, that you could use to decipher it. And these things work on your subconscious mind when you read them. And the Bible is designed to distort your reality and distort who you think you are and to prevent you from being successful in the future. Like I say, it's a Christian world that we live in.
Mm-hmm.
Your world is dying. It's over. Look what your Christian world did. I'm not talking to you, Art. I'm speaking.
I understand, General.
But look what the Christian world has done. The Christian world right now in the West is about ready to throw us into a nuclear war. And right now, the Bush administration is looking at bringing up testing. You're going to get in trouble. The neutron bomb project must be thwarted. This is what Christians are doing to the planet. They're destroying our oceans with communication devices. They're destroying marine life in our oceans with communication devices. They're destroying our atmosphere.
Well, you know what, Aaron, it's not just the Christian world. Where do you get that? I mean,
I'm speaking here in the West, our technology.
But talk about the Chinese, for example. They're overwhelming. I've been to China. You go to China, communist China, you'll be very impressed, Aaron, very impressed.
I've been in the East, and it's horrible, and I totally agree with you. Now, the Chinese don't have a belief system, and this is where I come in with a spiritual form of a community. We need spirituality, true spirituality. We need it to be combined with science and reality. We need to prove what it is that we're asking into our body. We need to see what that is. And we can do it. With remote viewing alone, you can gain all kinds of answers. With PAN, you can gain even more answers about spirituality.
The next
exactly
step.
What's going on.
Mm-hmm. All right. East of the Rockies, you're on the air with Aaron Donahue. Hello. Hello. Going once. Going twice. Gone. West of the Rockies, you're on the air with Aaron Donahue. Hello.
And good evening, Art and Aaron.
Hi.
I'm wondering if Aaron has looked at the possibility that sometime in the far distant future, human brains will be basically plugged into computers, and that's why he can't get beyond about 2700.
All right. It's an interesting question. Certainly, you were headed that way, or you thought technology was, Aaron.
Yes. Because our Earth is dying, people are frantic, and so they transfer their consciousness. They give up their bodies at a certain point in the future, and they transfer their consciousness into a computer matrix. Because it becomes uncomfortable to survive and live on a dying planet. They willingly give up their bodies and they transfer their consciousness into this matrix. But the matrix it's got a flaw. I don't know what that flaw is. And I think it's because we had to put together the program so quickly. And some of the hardware is flawed as well. And it's a nightmare for anyone who's caught in it. And when you make contact with any of the humans in it that were once human, they're begging to die. They want to warn you right now, don't go into the machine. Don't become a ghost in that matrix. Stay out of it.
Boy,
I agree.
This is not cheery stuff, Aaron.
No.
I mean, it's just not cheery stuff.
No. It's our only alternative when we go extinct, and extinction is so scary, people take their chance with the matrix, computer matrix.
Wildcard Line, you're on the air with Aaron Donahue.
Hello. I was wondering if Aaron do you believe that authors can see future events and not know it and use that as material for their books?
Pardon me. See who?
Do you? He's asking. Do you believe that authors, people who write books, can see the future and then use that material for their books?
Yes.
I believe that there are some, you know, science fiction writers have demonstrated an uncanny ability to see some things, but not with clarity. We're all
right.
Inherently psychic, and science fiction writers especially seem to tap into right brain functioning, and they tend to reflect it quite well.
Yeah.
H.G. Wells, for example, is a you know, in his Bringing Back the Old Ones, that sort of mythology that he cranked out is just very interesting. And there's some question whether or not the Mad Arab really did write that prior to his work. I'm sorry.
There's a book by Arthur C. Clarke.
Oh, yeah.
Called Childhood's End. Have you?
Yeah.
Okay. Because it, a lot of what you say sounds
a lot like
what was. Yes, very much so. It's not dead on with what you're saying, but it's
not,
amazing.
It's not all that close, but yeah, there's some similarities there. There's some similarities in a lot of science.
Okay. East of the Rockies, we're kind of short on time. You're on the air with Aaron Donahue. Hello.
Is this East of the Rockies?
Yes, it is.
Okay.
Yell at us on your very weak.
This is Barb in Milwaukee, and the Kabbalah Center has put out a book called The 72 Names of God. And every time he brings up this 72 tones or 72 demons,
right,
it throws me into that mindset. And I was wondering if he has a comment about that.
Yes, the Shem HaMforesh. Is that what you're referring to?
Well, my friend sent me the book, and then you say these 72 names of God, and they relate to certain things like prosperity or curing things, and I didn't know if those were the tones that you were working with also.
These are the peripheral manifestations of the tones. Now, these tones refer to a gate, or Lucifer's gate, into a higher information system. This is the true name of Lucifer, our progenitor. And the occult connection between the two is unmistakable, absolutely.
So actually, it's not per se the way we're talking tonight, the 72 names of God. It's the 72 names of Lucifer?
That's correct. Our creator is Lucifer, or for all intents and purposes, our God.
Okay.
It will, for a short time, become the God of the human race. It will replace all the other gods.
But
until we understand more about it.
So you, in effect, conjured up these demons by saying these tones. Is that what I'm doing when I say these names to?
We hope so, and it can only benefit mankind. And I've released the demons, by the way.
Uh-huh.
They're now learning our nervous systems.
I bet you do get some email.
Yeah, I do.
All right, listen, we're almost out of time, Aaron. Do you want to go ahead and give people your website, because even though the link is there, it's not eternal. So
okay, this would be ummo.cc.
.cc. Oh, that's a new one. People have to remember that, not .com, but .cc. So it's ummo.cc. Now, I want to warn people, there really are objectionable things to a lot of Christians on that website. So proceed with caution, as I tried to get people to do the whole evening. I have enjoyed having you on. You're a very interesting, disturbing person, but you probably know that already.
Oh, yes, and I take it as a compliment from you. You're a master at this. Thank you. It's been just a wonderful time, the best interview I've ever had. Thank you.
Thank you, Aaron. Good night.
Good night.
All right. There, ladies and gentlemen, is Aaron Donahue. And there are going to be many, many reactions to what he had to say. And I'm still sort of computing my own reactions to a lot of what he had to say. Very interesting. But again, that is the core purpose of this program, to bring you things like this that you don't hear anywhere else. And it has been my pleasure doing so once again this weekend, reminding you next weekend I will be off, as in not here, not conspiratorially removed in some manner, but putting up a big antenna, I hope. In the meantime, it's Crystal Gale that sings the words, good night. Good night.
Midnight in the desert, shooting stars across the sky. This magical journey will take us on a ride. for the truth. Will we make it to tomorrow? Will the sun shine on you? Midnight in the desert.